dum-dum, dee-dum-dum, dee-dum-dum, dee-dum-dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He squeaked and clawed, ducked and clawed.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You
and you
and you and you. Duck and clawed.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover.
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is. My friends, my chums, my compadres, my well-scrubbed amigos. It is 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of May in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and incredibly flammable studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, kids. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12. If you'd like to join us telephonically speaking, let me tell you how to do it. You pick up the phone, you dial this number. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you need some sort of a mnemonic device, although it's not a mnemonic device, but I can never remember the actual term, it is 503-P-by-70. 503-733-2970. If your comments, your clarifications, your corrections, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. If you would like to engage with us telephonically speaking, perhaps you got one of those newfangled BlackBerry type devices. You can email us from wherever you may be. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. And again, our phone number is 503-733-2970. I don't think people do 800 numbers anymore. Well, they do. I like Tom does, I think. But that's just because he's... I think that's just an established phone number for him. I think that's the only reason he does that. I don't think local radio stations still have 800 number because there's no point. Because, first of all, if you're just some guy, if you're some radio station in Kalispell, Montana, who's really going to be calling you from Boca Raton? It's not going to happen. There's really no point. And everybody's got the damn cell phones now anyway. So I think radio station 800 numbers, unless they're hooked to some sort of heritage image from the past, unless they are an inextricable part of the station's identity, I don't think 800 numbers really exist anymore. This is a thing no one cares about. It's one of those ruminations that goes through my head. Like so many moths batting themselves by a thing. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 or Rick at RickEmerson.com today. Why, hello, howdy, and so forth. Here's what we got coming up today, my friends. Oh, you know what I forgot to do today? I'm sorry if I'm a little flustered at the beginning of the program. Flustered's not the right word. I'm a little, not underprepared, not flummoxed.
Crazy?
I wasn't going to say that. Yes, I'm a sugar nut. I'm not...
You're unusually bouncy today.
It's not that I'm bouncy. I am a little bit bouncy. No, I just got out of this. I might as well just get this out of the way here at the top. I just got out of one of the things that you and you and you and you down the hall... one of the things that you guys don't have to... one of the things you don't get to take part in. The disaster preparedness drill, which CBS Radio does once a year. And I think they do it once a year in every market. And the disaster preparedness drill, this sounds like some sort of a gag. What I'm about to describe to you, and this is a little glimpse behind the curtain. I am pulling back the veil ever so slightly and allowing you to glimpse the machinery of CBS Radio at work. And fascinating machinery it is, my friends. This is why we played the duck and cover thing at the top of the show. I'm going to describe this to you, and this sounds like something that you would see on a television show about a television show. In other words, this seems like something that would only happen on an episode of, like, 30 Rock or Sports Night or Studio 60 or something, although Not much happens on Studio 60 anymore. But this seems like one of those sort of zany plot devices. But what they do here at CBS Radio once a year is they gather us all together in a room, all the department heads, which is like anybody who...
Oh, just the important people?
Yes. Just those who will be spared. Just those who will live through the disaster, Sarah. You commoners will not. You're the cannon fodder. You're the... But with all the department heads, which means, you know, like the head of engineering and Susan Reynolds because she's the head of marketing and, you know, me because I'm ostensibly the whatever, the guy that is sort of the guy on the station. So I'm the head of the station. So then I'm up there. All the department heads gather around a table. The regional head of engineering comes down, and this is exactly how they do it. And anybody who is in this meeting will tell you exactly the same thing. I am not exaggerating. I am not painting with overly broad colors here. You're sitting around a table, and this happened to me about an hour ago. This is how they do it every year. All the department heads are sitting around a table in a conference room. The regional director of engineering, which is in this case a guy named Eric, comes in, sits down, puts on his glasses, and he opens, like, a big folder, and then he takes out a bright red envelope, which is exactly like the... It's like the kind of the missile launch codes are in at the beginning of war games. You know, where you open it, you... Alpha, Tango, Bravo, Fire. You know, one of those envelopes?
Oh, that's failsafe. That was just on given night.
Is that it? Is that what it is? Yeah, I'm thinking of failsafe?
Alpha, Foxtrot.
This is the President of the United States! I'm sorry, Mr. President, God, what a gripping movie that is. Don't get me started.
Yep, I watched that, and what else was on? Oh, that one you despise.
Independence Day?
That's correct.
Back to back. Failsafe and Independence Day. That really is a yin and yang. That is a living alpha and omega right there. Jesus. One is like a really, really highly bleached version of the other. Anyway, so you sit there. All the department heads are on a table. The director of engineering for the region comes in. He sits down. He opens up a folder. He takes out a bright red envelope. He opens it. He takes out the piece of paper, and he says, in the case of this morning, this is what he did this morning. He opens the envelope, and he looks at you and says, a giant tanker truck filled with noxious chemicals has overturned on the street immediately in front of the station. The fire department says that if you do not evacuate the building, you will all die. What do you do?
Evacuate.
And that's my thing. It's like, well, I'm screw that. I'm leaving. Your microphone is off, by the way.
I'm just talking to my phone. Yeah.
That's it, man. But last year, Teresa, Mark's assistant, our general manager's assistant, last year at the disaster preparedness drill, I swear to God, the guy opens the envelope and he's like, Teresa, you've opened your daily mail and one of the envelopes is filled with anthrax. Everybody, what do you do? And I was like, well, screw that. I'm getting as far away from Teresa as I possibly can. She's a leper. We're sticking her in a bag and tossing her in the river. What are you talking about? But then you have to go through all of these machinations. They go around the table, and every department head has to explain exactly what they would do and how they would respond. Basically, what the point of the disaster preparedness drill is to find out if the stations can continue to be on the air and make money while all of us run for our lives. That really is what it's about. And they try to put a different face on it. They try to put a more humanistic mask on the whole thing. But it really is like, can the spots for that waterbed company continue to play even while someone at the station is being taken to the hospital with third-degree burns inside their lungs? Can we continue to charge money to advertisers even though half the staff is dead? That's really where... The answer, by the way, is yes. You will be glad to know that CBS Radio Portland is set up in such a way that we will be able to make money hand over fist, even as employees die by the dozens. So there you go. So we got that angle covered. So last year it was anthrax. This morning it was a big tanker truck filled with noxious chemicals of some kind. I voted for fire ants, and no one ever listens to me. I voted for fire ants. Rick Emerson would also accept any one of the biblical plagues. I would have accepted locust boils or the firstborn child in every household being killed. But, you know, what are you going to do? No one ever listens to me. All right, so there you go. 503-733. Oh, by the way, Scotty, we took a vote, and you're the expendable one on the station. You're the one who will stay behind in the red shirt. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today. Now that we all know that the radio station can stay on in the event of, you know, some sort of a class 5 hurricane or something. We've got Steve Kastenmann going to be joining us from New York City today. He's going to be talking. Apparently, I didn't see this, but apparently there's a video of Rudy Giuliani. He was going to some fundraiser on Tuesday, but man, he just got ambushed. Apparently, he walked into the fundraiser and it was just packed with a bunch of protesters, including a lot of 9/11 widows or 9/11 victims or something. And man, they just, I guess they just excoriated him right on camera. And then at the same time, he's talking about Hillary Clinton, who was in Steve's home stomping grounds of New Hampshire, talking about something or other. So Steve's going to give us his take on them. Because at this point, I can't start thinking about it because it makes me all tingly in a way that feels awkward to describe. The idea of a Hillary Clinton-Rudy Giuliani showdown in 2008, which just fills me with this sort of, just sort of a warm, buttery glow. And it's just something I can't think about too much because it just makes me too happy. And if I think about it, it won't happen. You know what I mean? You just got to relax and let it happen naturally. If I focus too much on Hillary versus Rudy in 2008, then I'll jinx myself. It won't take place. Then we'll get that, you know, then we'll end up with idiot Mitt Romney running instead. Lisa Goddard's going to join us today, and Jerm Roop will answer the magical question of exactly how crazy is Phil Spector today. We do have today's top five. Top five songs coming up later on. Top five songs you are most likely to hear out of a primer gray Camaro as it drives by you. Scotty gave it, I was going to say the old college try, but it's really sort of the old 7-year-old who's slightly less smart than the other kids on the block and therefore is still in first grade try. He failed badly. 4 out of 6 were good. No, they weren't. Scotty, he prepared a bad list yesterday. And so I got to say that we received...
Any list that includes the Wallflowers.
It was terrible. It was awful. Scotty gave it... And God love you, Scotty. You're good at some things. List making yesterday was not one of them. So Scotty attempted to create a top five songs you would hear coming out of a primer gray Camaro as it drove by. His list was crap. We have asked the audience to create a new one. So what I've done today is I got more response on this than probably any top five we've done in the last, I don't know, 6 months. So rather than just pick one person's list, I have aggregated, collated... A word like that? This is like that immunize, inoculate thing. And you know, I thought of another one. There's immunize, there's inoculate, and there's vaccinate. I don't know if any of these words are different from any of the other words. I tried looking it up online, but that just confused me further because they kept, inoculate, to make vaccinated. Vaccinate, to make immunized. It made no sense at all. I couldn't figure the whole thing out. So there's immunize, there's inoculate, there's vaccinate. They may be synonyms, they may be homonyms. They're not homonyms. They might be antonyms. I don't know. What was my point here? Oh, so rather than just pick one top five list submitted by a listener, I have taken what I've done is I've sort of aggregated them all, and I have taken the five most frequently referenced songs, the songs that are most frequently used by the listeners in creating their own top fives, and we sort of made a custom one out of that. So today we will have the top five songs you are likely to hear coming out of a primer gray Camaro, as voted on by the members of the Rick Emerson audience. We'll check in with our good friend Cross Country Nate today. We'll have Tim Riley in the noon news hour. And a whole bunch of other things that I could probably tease adequately right now if I hadn't been upstairs trying to figure out how we're going to survive an overturned truck out front and still play commercials. So there you go. That's it. Doesn't that sound exciting? Doesn't that sound like exactly the kind of show you want to give the next 3 hours and 45 minutes of your life to? You're damn straight it does. Before we do anything else, let's take a couple of these calls, which are coming in for no good reason at all. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why? Hello.
Hello?
Hello, is this you?
That's me, yeah.
Is this the party to whom I am speaking?
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah.
Yet another Dave in the Couve, and I just wanted to let you know that I've created a Google map for Cross Country Nate.
Excellent.
It shows all of the little places that have been discussed along the way.
Now, Cross Country Nate, we should tell this, because sometimes we like to think that everybody listens to all 4 hours every day, but sometimes, foolishly, there are people who only listen to segments of the program. They have not yet discovered the glory.
There are no bigger fools.
That's what I'm saying. Cross Country Nate is a guy, we're going to have him in the studio on Friday. Friday is his last day at work. He, his girlfriend, and their son are packing themselves into the car, and they are making a gigantic loop across the continental United States, and they have foolishly allowed us to create their travel itinerary for them. So you've created a Google map of his itinerary so far as created by the audience.
That's right, yeah.
Now, where could we find it? Did you send me the link to that?
I did send you the link. Just resent that.
When did you send it to me?
Just moments ago.
All right, let me check. Hold on. Let's look for it in real time. I don't even know what you just said, but it was funny. Hold on a second, mate. Reloading.
Is it there yet? Is it hot where you
are? We should create an entire... Oh, and here we go. Okay. This is a... I'm sorry. I think the chemicals are scorching the inside of my lungs. Okay, here we go. Google map for cross-country Nate. All right, I'm looking at it right now. Fantastic, sir. Thank you so much. All right, and it's got place markers for all of the stops that we have described for him so far.
Okay, so you can see it good.
I have it. Yes, I can see it good, sir. I've never seen it gooder than I am right now.
And you can see it well, too?
Okay, there's no need to be a smart aleck about it. Yes, I'm looking at it right here. God bless you. Okay, so I will we'll look at this, and then we'll post it maybe later on in today's show, so it's up in time for his appearance today.
Fantastic.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
All right, there you go. There you go. That's Dave. Look at that. Devil's Tower, Maryhill, Stonehenge, Mount Rushmore, the Indy Speedway. Blah, 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 Craters of the Moon.
Does it have the mental institution?
The Testicle Festival. Let me see. Does it have this?
Glore.
Glore. Yeah. Desmet, South Dakota, the Laura Ingalls Wilder Center, and Glore, which is where there's the psychiatric museum. Did you look at any of the photos from that psychiatric museum that Kara was telling us about yesterday?
Yeah, those are messed up.
That place is freaky. That is the stuff from which nightmares are made, my friends. That's like full-on... That's like full-on, you're stuck inside of some hideous Trent Reznor fever dream. It's not right. We'll post some photos of that later on. One of the places on this trip is going to be a psychiatric museum. There was that whole display just made out of things that one patient had swallowed. It's all kinds of unnerving. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hello, and how are you today?
Hello, I'm doing well.
All right.
I met a listener last night.
Really?
Yeah, Raul and I went and played video games downtown.
When you say met, do you mean had to call the police because he was looking in your window at night?
No, he was nice. His name was Tom. We went to Ground Control and played video games, and then went to Portland City Girls because they have cheap food at from 10 to midnight
right.
on weekdays.
You seem now, are you fully awake and functional today?
No, I'm kind of hungover.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say cranky, so I'm glad you preemptively clarified
no,
that
I
it's
just
not
think
grumpy.
You're overly bubbly.
It's not that I'm overly, yes, because nothing makes me more bubbly than sitting and talking
you
about
came,
noxious fumes vacating the
no,
building.
No, you seemed very happy this morning. You came bounding in.
It's just because, you know what the thing is, and I will apologize today for any raggedness in the program. Not that the program's going to be, you know, deficient in any way. It will be gloriously entertaining and informative, as it always is. I'm just saying I'm embracing the entropy today. I am zen with the fact that I don't really have today's program planned out. I don't really have a roadmap for what we're doing today. And I'm just going to give into that. I'm just going to be zen with it, as they say. So that's it. So you're hungover. I'm underprepared.
I don't think I'm hungover so much as I am just tired.
Well, I haven't had any food today, and I just finished my second Vizo, so that's good.
Did you ever eat the lasagna I bought for you?
No, it's sitting in the... No, it's my backup food. It's in case of an emergency. It's sitting in the freezer right there, because one of these days I'm not going to be able to get lunch, and bam, the food you got me is going to be right there.
A weekender's just going to eat it.
No, they're not going to eat... There are no weekenders anymore. Just here. And we can see that frozen lasagna is a little too high class for the weekenders that work in this studio. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Paris Hilton's cellmate has just been handpicked moments ago.
Fantastic.
George Michael may also be facing some jail time.
Excellent.
A woman attempts suicide after shooting a man in Southeast. Two Oregon men drown while fighting.
It's the best day ever.
A car is hit by flying semi-tires. Laptops are crippling millions. And Katie Couric's ratings hit an all-time low.
Is there some sort of a disaster plan for Katie Couric? Wait, open this envelope.
Walter Cronkite is still alive.
Hold on, let's see what it is. Oh, you spent $14 million on a newswoman who couldn't get people to listen if there was a gun pointed to their heads. What do you do? Go.
Hire Uncle Walter.
See what Don Imus is doing. All right, it's 503-733-2. Any of these are perfectly... You know what? I'm just going to give those ideas to CBS. I'm not even going to charge. They can just have those ideas. I mean, Andy Rooney's not doing anything. He's just sitting there right now at home combing his eyebrows. I mean, come on. I mean,
well, the executives are clearly playing duck and cover now.
Yes. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, it's Dan. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Dan. What's up?
Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
If a tanker truck full of toxic gases and/or fumes or what have you.
To be specific, in the disaster preparedness meeting this morning, they actually specified that it was a truck full of toxic pool chemicals.
Ooh.
So I don't know whether it's pure chlorine or whatever.
Yeah, chlorine.
Yeah.
But if that tipped over outside, wouldn't it seem like a bad idea to run outside?
Stop thinking. Stop your thinking right now. I don't want you thinking or exercising any free thought. Well, I should note that my first suggestion when they said, Rick, you know, and I was the first one. I was the first one they asked. Because we're all sitting around the table, and I don't know why the guy picked me. God bless him. He's like a nice guy.
Oh, you should do that round robin thing.
Went around the table one by one, and he said, let's start with AM 970. Rick, what do you do? And I was it's like, why does it have to be me? Because you know how it goes in these meetings. If you don't know the answer, hopefully the law of averages dictates that you were not the first one called on. And then what do? You give a thinly veiled reworking of the answer that immediately preceded yours, right? Like if the guy says, well, look, there's a truckload full of chlorine that spilled and everybody's going to die. What do?
Send Scotty out with the poisonometer?
with the kilometer?
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you're thinking that they call on KUFO first, and then I just give a vaguely reworded, retelling of whatever the KUFO guy said. But no, they called on me first. And so everybody in the room is breathing a sigh of relief because I'm the first one. And you should know that my first response was that we would stay in the building as long as we could and then go to a cell phone broadcast to alert the neighbors, to alert the people in the immediate vicinity that they were about to die. That was overruled.
That's a bad answer.
Well, no, that's
what I...
what
you mean, a cell phone broadcast?
I'm saying that we would pop the cell phone up on the board, and then Tim would stand outside and bravely fight off death while warning the people in this vicinity that they were about to slowly asphyxiate. They didn't see the wisdom of that answer. I think that would be a fantastic and brave way to go out, Tim.
Why can't we drop leaflets from a helicopter?
Telling them that we're bringing them chlorine and freedom.
So the actual consensus was to flee for your lives.
No, the consensus was to flee for our lives. Although we were unclear about what door we were supposed to go out, what direction we were going to flee, exactly how to avoid running into the chlorine. I mean, can I just tell you this? And this is one, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. This is actually one phrase that was used in the meeting this morning. The guy at one point, while describing one of the scenarios, actually used the phrase, and then you're all just sitting ducks. So there you go. So if,
Who was running the meeting?
It's not important.
Okay.
Let's not talk about it. All right, thank you, sir.
See ya.
Yeah,
there you go. Mr. X from BlackRock.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 503-733-2970. We got a break here in a second. Real quickly, speaking of disasters, let's talk about 970.am, shall we? This radio station's exciting webpage. You know, the irony is, by talking about it, we probably increased the traffic to that website like 300% over the last day. I think Susan was telling me there was some huge spike in people visiting the website yesterday. And the first thing they see is that big splash page, and I'm like, sorry, it sucks. We are going to be giving away passes to see OMSI Body Worlds 3. OMSI Body Worlds 3. That's the other thing we got to do today. We got to start auditioning to see if we can find somebody to fill in a small way for Tim for at least part of next week. Tim's going to be gone next Friday. What you want to do right now is go to 970.am, sign up to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastards, an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, a total of 15 people, and that's a few people here from the show, and then like I think six pair of tickets, 12 listeners, are going to be going on opening night. You will get a special opening night accompanied tour to OMSI Body Worlds 3. That is opening day. That is, what is it, 7th? I think it's next Wednesday, next Thursday, whatever it is. Is it Thursday?
I think it's Wednesday.
No, because I think the press tour is Wednesday.
Oh, it's not on the same day?
So it is. No, it's.
Okay, so that'd be Thursday.
I don't know.
I thought I'm going to puberty.
Yeah, I suppose. This has been the best show opening ever. The point is, go to 970.am, sign up for an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, and you too might be going to see OMSI Body Worlds 3, accompanied by some of the cast and crew from AM 970. We have more details about that to come later on in the program. In the meantime, we got to take this break. Come back, Steve Kastenbaum around the corner. Lisa Goddard still to come. Top 5, Jim Roop, Tim Riley at the top of the hour. This is the Rick Emerson. It's way too tight for you. What is your deal with not wearing shirts that fit you?
Rick, I've been working out.
That shirt doesn't have breathing holes, Scotty.
You've been working out.
And my shirts are all starting to shrink due to the fact that I'm bulking up. No.
Bulged?
That's all I had. Anyways, I've been working on this huge porch project. We're building a covered porch.
Uh-huh.
And
looks like you're building a cover for your groin. I think that's what you're building there. Building a porch.
Oh.
Yeah. Beer gut. He's building
any joke you have to explain that much, Rick.
Yeah, sorry. We needed a drone.
I couldn't come up with anything else.
I know. Daddy, you're not...
So the deal is, I get off of work
here. Are you in better shape?
No, well, yeah.
This is probably Lisa.
I had to lift huge pieces of plywood up under the roof and stuff like that. So, anyways, right after work, I go there, and yesterday it was blazing sun, so I think I'm a little burnt.
Yeah.
Shiny burnt.
Are you a little drunk, too?
No.
Hungover.
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I sit up on top of the roof. This is a great...
Oh, please. Like that's so out of the realm of possibility. Like, it's so completely outside the realm of likelihood that you would sit on a roof while drinking.
Hey, can you hand me another Pabst through the window, please?
That's like saying that... What do you mean?
Is that your beer of choice?
Pabst.
What is your beer of choice?
You know, I'm not sure if it's McMinimum Brothers, but...
Please be spelling McMinimum.
No, I won't do that, okay. But it's Blue Moon. I believe it's a McMinimum.
I love Blue Moon. I had one of those
yesterday. You can put orange in that, right?
Yeah, it's a Belgian white...
I don't know if Windmere or McMinimum's...
what was the first one?
Windmere?
Please to be spelling that.
W-I-N-D-M-E-R-E.
Okay, no.
come on.
No, and no.
I don't think those are letters.
Saying that you would never be drinking while you're doing your roof is like my daddy. What do you mean? I would never drink while I'm hunting, which, of course, was just a lie, like a complete and absolute lie. So before we take, and I think this is Lisa.
Okay.
Because Steve Kastenbaum, I think, blew us off. He's dead to me. I'm never speaking to him again. Are you down with this judging the Portland Teen Idol contest guy?
That actually sounds like fun.
Okay. Pleased to be spelling lecherous.
F-U-N. I can't.
Okay, that's actually kind of funny.
Right. Now, I can't spell lecherous, let alone be it, so pleased to be explaining
it. You got a lot of excess saliva in your mouth. I can hear it rattling around while you talk. It's kind of weird.
These mics are great.
You're kind of giddy today.
It's something in the air.
There is something. You know what it is?
It's that chlorine.
Disaster meeting. That's exactly what it is. All right. Thank you, Scotty. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Boy, I hope this is Lisa. CNN radio correspondent. This is Lisa.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa Goddard from the Hill. Hello. How are you?
Hey. So I came in late on that. Is Scotty actually drunk now?
Well, I would say, I mean, look, I haven't given him a blood alcohol test.
It's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, I would say...
Sounds like it.
I would say there's at least even odds, as they would say in Vegas. It's sort of an ongoing life project for, you know, some guys golf, you know? So
Right.
I mean, haven't you noticed that when you call in sometimes, Scotty speaks to you and sometimes he seems overly chipper. He seems to enunciate his words a little more than is strictly speaking necessary. And he has sort of a bad false enthusiasm that seems to sort of cover everything he does like a bright, shiny, alcohol-stinking gloss.
Yes.
That's because Scotty is hungover and or still a little bit drunk about 3 out of every 5 workdays here, just so you know.
Very nice.
I mean, so what I would like to, from now on, you should just, when he answers the phone, the first thing you should do is just scream a little, or maybe just like some loud rasping sounds right in his ears, just to sort of gauge where he is attitudinally.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to your colleague Steve Kastenbaum. That's why I said, is this Lisa? Because we were supposed to talk to Steve, but apparently Steve is too good to speak with us today.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Okay.
He's a great guy.
Hey, real quickly, so I will ask you something I was going to ask him, and that is not really what you're talking about today, but I know that you follow such things. Did you see anything about this, about Rudy Giuliani getting ambushed by a bunch of protesters the other day? At a fundraiser in New York. Have you seen that story?
You know, I've heard talk about this, but I haven't seen this.
I'm trying to figure out what happened, because because Steve is talking about two things, this Giuliani thing, and then how Hillary Clinton was in New Hampshire talking about the economy, and... I have seen just little anecdotal, and I couldn't even really point to any more evidence, I suppose, but I've seen little bits of anecdotal evidence. It does seem like, does it seem to you, as a political observer, that the heat on Obama has cooled a little bit?
Yeah, but I think for him to have a shot, it's got to. You can't, he couldn't, I think that's right, but I think for all of them, it's cooled a little bit.
I feel like Hillary has maintained an even amount of traction. I think her traction and her momentum, her buzz has remained steady. I don't feel like there's less buzz about Hillary. I just think that I feel like for a while everybody's talking about Barack Obama. Now not so much, but I feel like through it all, Hillary has never gotten more or less popular, more or less talked about. I feel like she's just been kind of one foot in front of the other for the past few months.
That is possible. I feel like there was a bit of a frenzy, a bit of a Hillary and Barack frenzy about a month ago.
I feel like maybe there
were... Both of them were at a higher level.
I think there might be. I think there might have been a little bit of a frenzy around Hillary. But again, I believe that was almost entirely due to Barack Obama.
And oh, that's right. I agree with you on that.
So I think that, in other words, so that, at a certain point became a, you know, it became a confluence of the two storms almost. But I think she is playing it very smart, and she is not going for a home run right away. She's not trying to make the American public fall in love with her as such, because that's never going to happen anyway. She's just continuing to be very steady and very deliberate about this. And
that's what she's got to do. It'd be very easy for her to peak early. And the same thing with Obama. I think both of them have to watch out for that extensively. But you know now, Fred Thompson, this is the news today, is that Fred Thompson is now starting the exploratory committee. He's hiring staff. He's raising money. So maybe in. Hunt for Red October. Maybe in.
Maybe. Because I got to tell you, I saw an interview with political strategist and nutcase James Dobson the other day. And James Dobson of Focus on the Family, he was saying, he said flat out, point blank, he didn't even mince any words, James Dobson said that if the candidate for the GOP is Giuliani, he said he will not vote and he will direct his followers not to vote.
That's right.
He flat out said that. He's like, I will tell my people to stay home and vote for no one. And that right there, that would put Hillary Clinton in the White House, even though, I mean, I think she would win in a walk anyway, but James Dobson.
That's a strong statement. You're kidding, really?
No, I do. I do.
Oh, I think so. Oh, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough contest. Depending on who the Republican, I think Giuliani could give Hillary Clinton a tough run. First of all, you've got the whole New York problem. You know, either anybody from New York needs to carry New York to win, and they'd go at each other. So that's an issue right there. But you'd have September 11th law enforcement and security versus the war in Iraq.
I suppose, and of course, you know, Giuliani has to think about being America's mayor, and as Dennis Miller constantly says, he's entering his peak killing years. So that's something you want if you're fighting terrorism. On the other hand, I don't think, look, even people who don't like Hillary Clinton, and I hate to just refer to this as men, but a lot of men. And I hear this from guys all the time. A lot of guys will just make these retarded comments about how, well, you know what, I just don't know that a woman has the guts or the stones to go in there and do what needs to be done, especially during those 5 days out of the month. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and just guys make these idiot remarks about women not being able to, and like anybody, I mean, all you got to do is, you know, is hear the four syllables of Margaret Thatcher, you know? And Margaret Thatcher, for once and all, she should have disproved that theory to begin with. And I don't know, even people who hate Hillary Clinton, I don't know anybody who would look at Hillary Clinton and seriously could tell you that she would have a problem just taking out the trash. I mean, look what Hillary Clinton does to people who are actually her fellow citizens who cross her. I mean, I have no problem thinking that Hillary Clinton would do whatever it took to wipe somebody off the map if that's what had to happen.
She does project that don't mess with me.
She really does. I mean, she will whack you in the hamburger if you cross her.
Yeah, you have a feeling Bill Clinton even just kind of, okay, Hillary. Yeah.
In other words, just totally off the beaten path. I will say, finally, my big thing has been and continues to be that a political the general election of this country is typically swung by like 3-4 million votes. That's about it.
Lately, yes.
And I honestly do believe, especially if she has Obama as her VP, I honestly believe all it takes is the what I kind of call the Oprah factor, which is one person who has a real swing or pull with a certain currently non-voting segment of society, and just to get up there and literally say, look, even if you never do another thing I say, even if you never take my advice in anything ever again, I, let's say Oprah, am telling you, go register and go vote. That's it. That's right there. I mean, and that's enough. That's enough to swing an election.
Oprah, yeah, no doubt. I honestly think a Clinton Giuliani matchup, I think that then the vice presidential candidates matter a lot in that matchup, because I think the conservatives, if the conservatives did stay home, which they could, I think Giuliani might be okay with that. His weaknesses are his largest weaknesses are largest in the Republican Party. The whole divorce thing, it's all moral issues, abortion, all of that. You know, Democrats can stomach that. But Republicans, that's where he's going to have the harder time.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. It's just, I was saying earlier, I can't even really think about it too much because it just makes me all giddy. Real quickly, and this was what we were actually supposed to talk about, that Paul Wolfowitz getting leaving to spend more time with his family or whatever they say. I know this sounds like a really dumb question,
but he's not an alcoholic. He's one of these that's leaving and isn't going into alcoholic rehab.
Well, not today.
Right.
Somebody should tell him to quit dating the help, though. This is a really dumb question. I don't know what the World Bank does. The World Bank is one of those, and that's a big question to get into, but the World Bank is one of those things you hear referred to it by, like, conspiracy nutcases as being some big, you know, it's like a bunch of guys wearing black hoods in a basement somewhere. I don't really know what they even do.
Right. I think people that have those ideas think that the World Bank controls the world's banking system, which it does not do. It does have world impact, but because its main mission is to give loans to developing nations, and they're enormous loans, massive loans, and the world's nations fund the World Bank to do this specifically. The World Bank must self-sustain, but many of those loans are no interest or low interest. Some of them are grants, and so it's really a developmental tool. But the people who work at the World Bank, some of them do okay for themselves. I mean, they're not wealthy. They're not Wall Street bankers, but they're making more than you and I, the top brass at the bank.
All right. Well, there we go. And now I know the answer to that.
Yeah. And also, inoculation versus vaccination.
Yes.
Versus immunization. Did you get the answer on that?
No, yet? I got the answer on nothing.
Nothing. Oh, well, it's basically all the same. It's the same thing.
Really? So they're all sort of synonyms.
Right. They are basically synonyms. It's just if you want to, how old school you want to go. I think inoculation is really the Charles Dickens preferred term.
Someone told me that the only difference is that inoculation is actually always uses a microorganism of the illness you are attempting to immunize against, e.g., polio.
Right. But see, that's where you get tricky, because then vaccination can use a microorganism but doesn't always have to. So it is a very scientific, very specific difference, but it's not a very large difference that's important now. But you, in researching this, first of all, I found out great stuff. The milkmaid story, it was true, but it turns out the milkmaid had cowpox, which apparently if you got cowpox, you were then naturally immunized from smallpox. So she had a cowpox blister that the doctor took a swab from and put in the cuts of, I think, an 8-year-old child. To see if the kid would get cowpox. He did get cowpox, but then he was inoculated from smallpox.
Can I just tell you this, really? I mean, there's more learning packed into, like, the last 12 minutes of this segment than most radio stations do all day.
Hey, exactly.
You really have to know that that's the case. Excellent. All right.
I have to bring up one other thing about this that I found out, is that the first biological warfare, arguably, was back in the Revolutionary War, the French-Indian Wars, that the British Army, apparently as the U.S. Army was making its way into Quebec, that the British Army somehow spread smallpox. I think they inoculated some people and then sent them out with their smallpox pustules to infect the colonials. And Thomas Jefferson, they had this big smallpox plague at the time, they had to pull back out of Quebec. Thomas Jefferson blamed smallpox for the fact that Canada was never part of the United States, and he thinks that the U.S. was just about to take over Canada when the Brits dropped the smallpox on them.
I had no idea. That's fascinating.
Is that amazing?
And I love the idea of a guy going through, you there with the pustules. I've got a job. What are you doing tomorrow? I've got a job for you.
All right. You there with the oozing sores, you.
You there, lesion guy. Is that called joining the foreign legion?
Oh.
Ha! All right, on that note, we'll call it a day. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, from The Hill, thank you.
My pleasure.
The foreign legion, joining the foreign love, the language of love. Ricky's Pappy was in the foreign legion. Legion. All right, we got to take a break. Back after this with Tim Riley and the Noon News Hour, ladies and gents. 503-733-2970. Still to come, Jim Roop, top five, cross-country and ace. More information on you going to see Body World 3 at OMSI. You stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Wednesday 13. We'll be right back. the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Ladies, I'll take to the no offense. I appreciate it.
You have to say that kind of stuff.
No, it was true. It was poor lighting over there.
Yeah, well,
it looks like it was done in the basement.
We're talking about Sarah being a coin television. It wasn't you. It was them. Sometimes you just... They did not play to your strength when you were on coin TV.
There was no key light.
Exactly. No, that's it. The lighting was weird. Your makeup was sometimes...
Awful.
Did you do your own makeup?
I had to wear the makeup that they bought me.
Yeah, your makeup was... And then that hair color they made you get.
I know, it was bad.
Bad camera shots.
It was all bad.
I mean, they did not bring out the best in you at coin. I'm just going to say that.
What, you didn't like my pastel blazers?
No offense.
For the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Clackamas County man is arrested after an axe handle beating. 50-year-old Randy Ray Miller Sr.
Can I ask you something?
Not to be confused with his son, Jr. has been arrested for assaulting his half-brother with an axe handle while the victim was sleeping on a couch and then forcing the victim to come into the woods with him on Graham's Ferry Road where he tried to throw away the axe handle, which was later found.
Please come into the woods with me for a moment. I'm going to bring this axe handle.
So there are all kinds of people here who are apparently related with different names.
Oh, I think
it's going to be hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
So let's give it our best shot.
You need a hillbilly scorecard.
Now, the half-brother is William Joshua Davidson. Now, all these people have biblical names, as they should. Then Jedidiah Miller.
Jedidiah.
Yeah. Who lives in Gladstone, has also been arrested in connection with this axe handle beating. His total bail, $500,000. Jedidiah. Now, Jedidiah is not a very good fellow.
Jedidiah.
But he didn't swing that axe handle. Apparently, so this half-brother was treated for injuries. He has a broken tibia in his left leg, a broken rib on the right side, multiple contusions on his right and left. Wouldn't happen in an average evening.
Jedidiah's tibia?
Yes. Jedidiah's tibia. Well, apparently, these folks are allegedly involved in a break-in at OTS Wire and Insulation in Wilsonville. And all these guys have a criminal history.
Of course.
Now, Randy Miller Sr., not to be confused with Junior, who's the good guy, apparently, and William Davidson, the half-brother, may have had some monetary disagreement over money received from the sale of what was stolen from OTS Wire and Insulation.
God damn.
So, Randy Ray Miller Sr., are you following so far?
No, not at all, but it doesn't matter.
Was arrested and taken to Clackamas County Jail. And, he's charged with assault 2, kidnapping 1, and violation of parole.
Well done. Fantastic. Now,
so the axe handle's been found.
I looked at this story earlier. You were using some visual aids. Tim was trying to explain the particular lineage of this criminal family to me earlier.
Right.
You know, the half-brother is a slight improvement over the whole brother, but
well,
not very much.
When
comparing Jedidiah, Randy Ray, and William Joshua.
Now, here's the thing.
This is quite the gene pool.
Sort of a drained gene pool. Sort of a gene pool that's been taken down to about half an inch for the winter. Just filled with leaves. leaves and dried algae. If you have seen the... If you have seen the Sam...
You can make the conjugal visits.
If you've seen... And God only knows what the women who mated with these men look like. I mean, for the love of God. Just like refrigerators with boobs.
Probably entice them with that stolen copper wire. That's probably part of the tower.
There are some smokes hidden somewhere in my body. If you can find them, you can keep them.
And I'm missing the remote control with the television.
Totally.
Try to find that.
Would you... Would you inspect my folds for the clicker?
The reward will be an axe handle.
If you... So Tim was trying to show me this family tree of this...
In the meantime, Iggy Breaky Heart is playing in the background as somebody's being beaten over the head with an axe handle.
Iggy...
Here go line dancing.
Icky breaky legs.
Let's see Randy Ray do the boot scoot boogie out of Clackamas County Jail now.
On one leg.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
The icky breaky leg. The tibia stomp will be next week's dance.
Okay. What I was going to say is,
If you want to see pictures of these people, go to the K2 website. Maybe we should post them too and let you decide.
All right, I'm going to post it right now in real time because that's gold. All right, what is it? K2.com. Hold on.
Yeah, that's where I found them originally.
Hold on. Now, what I was going to say is, if you have ever seen the Sam Raimi film, A Simple Plan, starring Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton, and some guy. Let's see. Here we go.
Now, had this been Hollywood, they would have been in prosthetics for like 5 hours to get this look.
Totally. All of them. All right. I have got the article. Okay, see, before I post it, I'm just going
to
say
it's
this.
It's easy to find. It's man arrested over X-handle beating.
And here's the thing. I'm looking at these three people. I don't know how they're related exactly because I couldn't really follow it. But I'm just speculating.
They're all probably friends of Mitchell Bickford somewhere while, down the line.
While looking
Kevin
at this.
Trailer repairs.
Why you wait? For cash or trade. This is like one big David Allen Coe song. Anyway, I'm looking at the three members of this family.
And keep in mind, none of these guys are over 50.
No. Really?
Yes. Well, the oldest one is Randy Ray Miller Sr., who's 50.
Oh, God.
And William Joshua Davison is 44.
All right.
And then Jadidi is only 26. Now, he's the biological son of Randy Miller Sr.
Randy! Hold on a second. Let me just post this before I do anything else. I just got to take a second. Because it'll be like 10 seconds of gripping radio here while I'm posting this on the blogger. Let's see.
There's another shooting in Southeast, by the way.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Where was it at?
This was at Southeast 100, 4th and Boise.
Fantastic.
And it was a woman shooter. And then she tried to shoot herself, but was unsuccessful.
Really?
Yeah. She drove all the way to Redmond to kill herself, and she didn't do it right.
All right, hold on. I'm posting the link right now. It's just called, imaginatively enough, it's just called Visual Aid Number 1 for Today's News. So there you go. You can look at that right now, and you can, let me just verify that it works. Okay, so if you go to rickemerson.com right now, it's called Visual Aid Number 1 for Today's News, and it takes you right to this K2 story about the accidental beating. Okay, if you've seen the Sam Raimi movie, Simple Plan, if you haven't, you really should. It's a really stressful film. It's about three idiots in the country who find like $1 million and then end up just going insane and squabbling over
it. Oh, I have seen that. It's a messed up movie.
It's a very stress-inducing film, yes. It's awful. I mean, it's a great film, but it's just so tough to watch. But that's what this family looks like. So... But all three essential roles in this family drama are filled by these guys. There's Jadidi James Miller, who is, this is my assessment as a pundit, as a commentator, as an editorialist. He's the big burly no-neck thug. Who did
the
beating.
He's the son of Randy Ray Miller Sr.
There is Randy Ray Miller... Who is, from my assessment of this, is the overbearing, somewhat diminutive, but still strangely authoritarian and drunk-looking father.
He is the guardian of the axe handles.
And then there's William Joshua Davidson, who's the idiot. We'll get him right now. That's the word that comes to mind.
He might be the mastermind. Now, this burglary at the wire and insulation.
He's the Kaiser Soze of the whole opera. He's the verbal kin of the whole thing. William Joshua Davidson, who has a look on his face for this mugshot as though he's unclear about what the strange device being pointed at him with the light on top of it really is. He's sort of here. You know what? Do you know what William Joshua Davidson looks like in this photo? He's the bottom
he
most
in
photo.
The Napoleon Dynamite.
Gonna make a time machine?
Yeah.
He does.
Well, that's probably why they sold the wire and the insulation to build themselves a time machine.
He has a look on his face exactly like my dog, Max, gets on his face right as I'm giving him an injection of droplets into his ears to clear up the infection that he seems to get about once a year in his ear canal. And it's just sort of I don't understand what's going on. It's something bad, but I can't quite find the words to express my emotions at this point. And also, I'm really dumb. That's the expression on the face of William Joshua Davidson. Both men have an established criminal history. Fantastic.
Get out, amateurs.
God bless you, Clackamas. You know, we mentioned yesterday that later in this week, we're going to get back to... our goal is to have that Portland anthem written within like a month, but... You know, it's so tempting. It's so tempting just to just to put in a line about Clackamas, about these guys. All right, there you go. Anyway, so there you go. Fantastic. Wonderful story. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you doing?
What's up?
I was listening to your fine radio station this morning.
Yes, sir.
And somebody called in Dennis Miller, and I heard him say something about those damn liberals.
Yes.
And I got an ingenious idea.
Oh.
Leave Stephanie Miller on till 9, and then just give Scotty J his own show from, you know, 10, 9 to 11, so at least the damn liberal stuff is somewhat amusing, because, I mean, it's Scotty.
That is true. Everything is funnier when filtered through Scotty.
Dennis Miller's just...
You are right about
that. I'm sorry, but he kind of... He should just be on after Rush, because that's what he said. I was listening to Rush, but now I'm listening to you.
I do love the phrase, damn liberals. That's right up there with, you're not going to hear this on the mainstream media. So, you're right. Scotty J is a prism through which everything does become reduced to its comedic component parts. You're right about that, my friend.
Seamus had a good idea about having Scotty J and Logan having their own show, I believe, on your MySpace.
Scotty J and Logan and Lucy Reynolds, Susan's daughter.
Yes, that would be fantastic. And they could have spelling bees.
Thank you, sir. And thanks for listening to the Dennis Miller Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Seamus and Shadidia. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, moments ago, Paris Hilton's cellmate has been selected. Officials at the jail where Paris will do time have decided an inmate who is doing time for reckless driving will be the perfect match for Paris. Sources say that the jailers are looking for someone who they believe will not try to cash in on Hilton's stay.
Uh-huh.
The woman is already in the cell that Paris will be in, waiting for a touch of Hilton. The jailers already conducted searches of anything electronic. They are prohibiting cameras, cell phones, and the like. A memo has gone out to the staff warning them that anyone who takes pictures of Paris will be disciplined or fired.
Where would they even take pictures? Oh, I guess they're talking about the
money
cars.
That people would pay for
into
that
the
picture?
Gang shower.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, you know the
you
pictures
totally
will come
get,
out.
Yeah, because that's worth being fired.
Who, yeah, I was going to say, who cares if you get fired? You can get $100,000 for that photo. Picture of Paris with the no makeup and like...
No hair?
Week-old panties and no hair extensions, having to make license plates. Doesn't matter. The TMZ has probably got a standing bid for that right now. So, excellent. Well done.
Also, there has been a written protocol already prepared especially for Paris, detailing when and how things should be done for her. TMZ has received an exclusive statement from the owners of Le Deux, the Hollywood nightclub where Lindsay Lohan was caught after hours... Right before her DUI bus. Le Deux is a restaurant open five... Oh, this is from the restaurant itself. Le Deux is a restaurant open 5 nights a week, and there is no age limit to our patrons. Lindsay had dinner at Le Deux that night and was waiting for friends to pack up the DJ supplies, thus leaving Le Deux after closing. Because of the enormous paparazzi presence outside, we allowed her to stay late and wait for her friends. She was not drinking at Le Deux and left. She was driven by her driver. So that's that.
It's funny how nobody of these clubs ever has any idea how anybody in the club got alcohol.
We will continue to work closely with the ABC to make sure alcohol is consumed by responsible people and the legal drinking age
sure.
Response.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, it was like that article, the Willamette last week. The big front page, the cover story, I think it might actually still be out. The cover story in the Willamette is all about how apparently you can walk into almost any restaurant in Portland and buy cocaine by the pound. There was a whole list of just bars and clubs and restaurants. You go in and you like ask for Vinny or whatever. Use some I'm here about the spatula. And I go, oh, spatula. And he comes out with, gives you a half a gram of cocaine or something. So, but they were interviewing the manager. I have no idea. I was unclear that anybody I know anywhere ever in my life ever had anything to do with cocaine. Just no one ever sees it. No one knows anything about it. Available everywhere. Here's Tim Riley.
Christopher Hitchens admits drinking enough every day to kill or stun the average mule, but insists his rampant boozing hasn't affected his career. Many great writers did some of their finest work when blotto, smashed, polluted, blank-faced, spiffy, whiffled, I guess these are British words, and three sheets to the wind.
Making things up now.
I have never been late for an appointment, never had to cancel a speaking engagement. I do radio and TV, and I don't slur. I've never missed a deadline, so it can't be the case that I'm fallabout drunk.
I don't know that he doesn't slur. I think it's that he slurs a little bit all the time. I think you listen to that guy's talk, Christopher Hitchens, and he does have a sort of what he talks like, blah, blah. And I'm not saying he's a falling down drunk or irresponsible in any way, but I do think he has a low-grade slur going on all the time, and so as such, you don't notice it. The great thing about him, though, is that he just makes no secret of it for the long longest time. And maybe it's a network television restriction now that I think about it. Because whenever he's on HBO, I was saying, he just comes out and he has a big tumbler of whiskey with him, which is fantastic. I mean, it's kind of a prop, obviously, but I mean, he drinks it. So, and I don't think that's Dean Martin whiskey either. I think that's the real deal. I don't think that's apple juice or anything in there.
A convicted killer who admits he still hears voices in his head could be released from the Oregon State Hospital.
He'll be living near you.
You ought to see this guy's picture.
Wait.
Let me look.
Oh, yeah.
He's also from Clackamas County.
Oh, man.
He doesn't have any teeth.
They're all part of the same gene pool.
We both like soup.
Lee Vajka was found guilty but mentally ill, like everyone else in that county, for shooting 20-year-old Sarah Huang to death in a Damascus horse barn back in 2003.
Shot to death at where's Damascus? Don't tell me it's in Jerusalem.
No, it's, I bought my car there, as a matter of fact, from a little old lady. It's a nice little farming community.
Did you really buy your car from a little old lady?
I did, from a little old lady's estate.
Oh, not from the little old lady as
no,
such.
No, she was gone.
Negotiating with an urn. If $5 is enough, say nothing. So he hears voices and they're sending him home to Clackamas.
Yes.
Well, that problem will all, that'll work itself out. I mean, really, anybody else he can kill him.
He looks like he's ready to be released, doesn't he?
Yeah, of course. Just give him $5 and a bus pass and a cardboard suitcase. Here you go.
He'd be voted the president of Clackamas.
The president of Clackamas. The king of Clackamas. I am the king of Clackamas. Of all that I survey. Let's be honest. Anybody he'd kill in Clackamas probably needed killing anyway. So, I mean, you know, that can only help that place.
I suppose.
It's true.
President Bush will host Russian President Vladimir Putin at the Bush family retreat in Maine in July. White House spokesman Tony Snow called Russia a very important partner and said Bush and Putin enjoy a candid relationship.
There are some areas where we disagree, where we've had open disagreements. And one of the interesting things about the President and President Putin is that they are not afraid to ventilate them. And they're brutally honest with one another.
To ventilate them? I don't know what that means. Is that one of those things where he's using a word that we think typically means one thing, and he's being a smart aleck by using it in some weird, obscure, but technically correct
Maybe.
Way, just so we think that he's an idiot, and then he refers us to Webster, and we find out that he really is using it correctly.
Ventilate them.
Maybe. Ventilate them.
Either or both might have flatulent problems. So said President Bush and President Putin are very frank with each other.
The president has always made the point that when he is talking with President Putin, President Putin's never lied to him, and they have certainly been free to express themselves fully about their concerns.
I swear to God, I didn't mean to. The computers did that by itself.
Vladimir Putin.
I don't know why it's funny. Vladimir Putin, when taking off the time from his primary role as a house elf to Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Candidates on the campaign trail meet all types of folks. In Dover, New Hampshire, Mitt Romney found one voter who refused to even shake his hand. The former Massachusetts governor was making the rounds of a restaurant when he approached a man who had a problem with him.
I'm one person who will not vote for a Mormon.
Oh, that's right. Can I shake your hand anyway?
No.
Okay.
Genius. I mean, he's got the courage of his convictions. You have to admire that, I suppose.
He's eating mashed potatoes with the common folks at
I mean, look, you have to. You know what it is? Don't you get irritated when there's two people who publicly just loathe each other, or they just battle it out, they hate each other, but then they meet, and then they shake hands, and they act, well, we've had our differences, but, you know, we can all agree on one thing. And don't you always feel cheated?
Yeah.
You always just feel a little bit of hornswoggle. You're like, well, come on, you hate this guy. It's like when you see two people on a panel show who've done nothing but malign each other and sling mud at each other. And they do this in presidential campaigns all the time. Where, you know, Hillary Clinton, do you remember, I remember during the Bush-Kerry thing. I mean, they were calling Kerry, like, you know, a fake war hero and whatever. And Kerry was calling Bush, you know, like a moron. And then they go to the debate and they shake hands. And they go, well, while I respect President Bush's efforts, you don't respect his. Quit lying. Quit lying. You said he was a dick. Just stick to your contention that he's a dick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy doesn't like Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney's like, shake my hand. I go, no. Which, I mean, whatever. I mean, just, at least he's consistent. You gotta get with that. I wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney either. So I don't know if I'd shake his hand or not.
Shake his hair.
Can I shake your hair? Can I shake your kidney? Go up to somebody at the mall and say that.
Which mall?
Walk Clackamas. Walk up to the next attractive girl you see and ask her if you can shake one of her kidneys. Just one, though. Pardon me, can I shake your marrow? What was I going to say? My friend Todd shook the hand of the Mormon prophet, Gordon B. Hinckley. Shook his hand. Went up, shook his hand. There you go. That's my Mormon handshaking story for the day. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
So, could I shake your brain and find out why so much negativity on Clackamas?
I appreciate that.
There's
you just did
innocent women and children there, for crying out loud.
No one in Clackamas is innocent.
Let's yeah, really. I mean, I'm from Clackamas, and there's nothing wrong with me.
Yes. Yeah, everybody in Clackamas is either current or future felons. You know that to be true.
No. Look, dude, ever since I've been out on a work release, nothing has gone wrong. Come on.
Are there any other jokes you would like to use before your call is done?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you.
A little Clackamas comedy there.
With a K.
K. Total.
All right.
You should put that in the next listener party. The famous Clackamas Comedians. Clackamas Comedians Club.
Clackamas Comedy Club. Thank you for coming out to the KKK tonight. All right, here's Tim. Clackamas Comedy Club.
The KKK.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, that hungry leopard picked the wrong house to enter in his quest for a midnight snack. That's because a Jerusalem man wrestled the hungry leopard to the ground after it entered his bedroom and tried to make a meal out of the man's cat. Arthur Dumas is a 45-year-old travel guide at a college in southern Israel. He said he reacted even without thinking.
I grabbed the leopard in his neck, smacked him with my two hands to grab actually as much as possible skin, dragged him to me, squeezed him between my legs and the bed, and held it down.
Now, did we have the story yesterday?
The leopard. Yeah, but we didn't have the
We didn't have sound on it,
We didn't know that he held the leopard between
his
legs.
Okay.
Mr. Dumash said the big cat was stunned by his reaction.
The big cat, I mean, the leopard, was very shocked. That's why he released our cat. That's why it was saved. Its life was saved. But the moment that it came to its senses, it started really to struggle.
And then one day, he break the cage, and he get that. And we all laugh. I don't even know where he was from. Where was he from?
Israel.
All right. Okay.
You're doing an Italian.
No, I'm trying to do Borat.
Oh,
but you know, I can't do that either. I can't do any of those.
He's actually Jewish, but he's from England.
He's Jewish, and I believe most of what Borat says is Hebrew.
Yes.
I'm not positive, but yeah, I think it's actually Hebrew. All right. Well, let's see. We should break here so we don't get totally off point.
All right. What was the point?
I don't know the answer to that, Tim. It's 503-733-2970. Around the corner, I was trying to do another kooky, classy comedy, another K thing. I don't know. More jokes around the corner and stuff. More tales of comedy. Later on, Jim Roop, Top 5, Scotty J, all that. You say there's a Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, my son just got his job site to turn on your show today. Give a big hello to the... Oh, I'm sorry. This is a play on words. Southtown Glass today. Where apparently the employees are known as... Glassholes. Hello, Glassholes. At Southtown Glass, working at David Douglas High School in sunny southeast Portland. So, I guess. I don't really know what that means. Well, hello. Hello, Brooke Shields. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a move is afoot to honor the life of Les Schwab. That's Oregon's biggest hero. Les Schwab is the founder of Les Schwab Tire Centers. He died at the age of 89. They haven't decided what they're going to do yet. A public memorial is planned for 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Redmond County Fairgrounds Expo Center.
That's pretty amazing, actually, when your memorial service is at an expo center somewhere.
You know, I mean, he's going to be Les Schwab.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's full on, like, that's a full on Gandhi funeral, is what that is. Where, you know, the entire populace of the country will be there.
He is Oregon's Gandhi.
Here it is. Les Schwab. As we say goodbye to Oregon's Gandhi. That's fantastic. We're going to start calling.
See a special report. It'll be covered live.
Where he's just on the screen, just ringed in roses and like a soft glow emanating from the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, here's something that makes Les Schwab turn over in his grave. A car has been hit by flying semi tires. They were from Les Schwab. A man driving on Interstate 90 escaped injury after a set of double Trek tires fell off a semi and struck his car.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Do these fall off a semi or do they peel off? In other words, were these ones he was driving on or were they like stacked in the back?
They were stacked in the back.
Oh, that's no good. Man, every time you you're driving behind a truck that's stacked with stuff, don't you just fear like it's going to fall off and crush you like a log?
Logs.
But, yeah, totally.
Well, you see all the tires along the highway, so you know it happens frequently.
Yeah, completely. Ugh.
A 19-year-old Sung Shin of Tacoma swore to avoid the tires, but was unable to move out of the way. The tires and an axle fell off a westbound semi that was hauling an empty trailer, rolled across the medium and hit Shin's car. So, let's see. Oh, the troopers made him, the driver of the original truck, they made him make the necessary repairs before he drove away.
Jesus, I'm nervous.
That is. In the meantime, two men drowned and another was stabbed during a fight at the Topsy Reservoir near Keno. That's in Oregon somewhere. Six young men were on a ledge, often used for diving. There was a scuffle and a man was stabbed at least twice in the torso. One man then pushed another off the ledge and into the water. When he called for help and said he couldn't swim, the alleged pusher jumped in after him. Both slipped underwater. A nearby fisherman quickly pulled one from the water, but CPR was unsuccessful.
The best part is how he stabbed the guy, but then when the guy fell into the water and couldn't swim, he decided to save him.
Yeah.
After you don't stab a guy to wound either. You're stabbing a guy.
Well, he didn't have an axe handle handy.
Also, I love the idea that this means they were on a ledge used for diving. This means that at least one of the guys regularly goes diving while carrying a knife.
Yes.
I wonder if he carries it full on like Tarzan style, like clenched in his teeth.
That could be.
I always wondered how it was that Tarzan could dive into the water without cutting his freaking head off because he would clench that knife in his teeth. I guess maybe you do that blade out.
I suppose so.
Okay.
There are at least 20 witnesses that alcohol is believed to be involved.
No, really? Where is this at? Keno?
Keno, wherever that is.
Where is that in Washington?
No, it's in Oregon.
All right, Keno. You were right. You know, for a guy that grew up here, and, you know, I've been here now after being gone for like a decade, I probably don't know 95% of the towns we talk about that are in the Northwest. I have no idea. Like Tootle, which I've seen that written down for years, and I still had no idea where it was until Monday. By the way, I think that I may not be going to the Great White Concert in Tootle on Friday. I think I may because, you know, why? Can I just tell you the weirdest thing? I had a dream, and Jack Russell from Great White was in my dream, and it was Monday night after we'd had our Memorial Day show where we spent a lot of the day, because there was nothing else to do, talking about the Great White concert, which is going to be in Tootle, population 731 this Friday. Mm. I had a dream, I swear to God, that I was on a tour bus with Jack Russell from Great White, and he was just old and angry and bitter and drunk. So it was.
I can imagine at this point he would be.
Yeah, I mean, well, yes, it did seem very true to life. But you know, they're supposed to play at 10:00, and I feel bad because there's some local bands opening. But let's be honest, no offense, I wasn't going to go to see you anyway because it's like 3:00 p.m. It's an all day rock festival in Tootle. It starts at 3:00 p.m. on Friday. Great White is supposed to go on at 10:00. You figure if every band goes 10 minutes over, that's like an hour and a half. Great White's not going to go on till 11:00. They're going to play for 90 minutes. That's 1:00. That puts me back home at 2:30 in the morning, and that's if everything goes according to plan. And you know.
God. Things never go according to plan.
Things never go as Great White will tell you. I wonder if Def Leppard is glad that Great White is around, just so Def Leppard doesn't have to be the S magnet anymore. They're just Def Leppard isn't the spinal tap of the rock world anymore. It's now Great White. God love Great White. Fine band, one of the great bands of the 80s.
God doesn't love Great White right now.
I don't think that I care that much. So maybe I'll give away my tickets.
If it was Alice Cooper?
I would now see. If it was Alice Cooper, I would go, even given his recent shunning of us. Mm-hmm. I would go. I've driven further than that to see Alice Cooper. When I was in, how far is Del Mar from San Diego? That's not that far, I guess.
No.
But I've driven to see Alice Cooper before. I've driven hours to see bands. I just don't think that I'm going to drive this far to that place to see that band this Friday. So... You know, sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
A Dutch reality show is defending a controversial episode in which three panelists compete for a dying woman's kidneys. Transplant patient Chris Robinson says this is an ethical issue.
You know, I can understand why people would do anything for a kidney transplant.
However, we need to
keep in mind that many people live long and productive lives on dialysis,
no,
which is what they are on instead of getting the transplant.
Dialysis sucks. Have you ever known anybody on dialysis? That's the worst life. Not saying you don't do it, because it's either that or, you know, take a dirt nap, I guess. But, I mean, everybody I've ever known, not like I know scores of people on dialysis, but I know a few people, and that just sucks.
I don't know one.
It's just, it's the worst. It's just the worst thing, and they're just sitting there, just like chained to a machine that like cleans your whatnot or whatever. Maybe technology's come a long way. In high school, one of my best friends, her dad was on dialysis, and it just sucked, because it's like you're like a cyborg. You got to be hooked up to this machine for hours every day. Because your kidneys can't do the job, and so it's going to clean all your whatever. And it's just the worst thing. So what are they doing? How are they competing for this kidney?
I don't know. It doesn't say. They want you to tune in.
Because the thing is,
it's the big donor show.
It's the big donor. I wonder if there's going to be that big Mexican guy and a bunch of sluts in bikinis.
I don't know.
Sabado. It'll be like Sabado Gigante. But it'll be,
I don't think there are too many Mexican people in Netherlands.
No,
how would they get there?
Airplane? I was saying it might be modeled on those big, great all-day Mexican shows that you can watch here. That's the best thing, by the way, about spending any time in Southern California. When Laura and I go there, two great things about Southern California: horchata and Mexican television. Those Mexican shows, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, like, you'll stop into... And Thomas talked about this, because he's in L.A., but, you know, in Southern California, you'll just stop into some store, and, of course, it's the cultures are very, I don't want to say integrated, but, I mean, you know, there's a strong, obviously, a strong Mexican presence in Southern California. And so you'll go into a store to buy whatever, and there'll be some television on in the background, and it's like, and there'll be like, and it's always a fat man. It's always a big fat man in, like, a lavender suit. With like a huge mustache, and then flanked on either side by three huge-breasted women in bikinis, some sort of a spinning, glittery prize wheel in the background, a clown going by on a unicycle, and showers of explosive confetti being shot out of the back. And you'd be like, what's this? And this is the evening news, you know, or whatever. It's like, what is this? Well, it's our morning religious programming. It's just that is the template for every show I've ever seen come out of Mexico. It's fantastic.
And if you go below the borders, say to TJ, I mean, people living in shanties, and the satellite dishes are bigger than the places that they're living in.
Totally. Exactly. Just a bunch of legless children trying to sell you chiclets.
Stealing the X off the Mexico sign. It's true. Every time you go, the X is always stolen off the Mexico sign, regardless of where you are.
Really?
Yeah. I never really noticed that.
It's a national pastime, apparently. The best part is when you go to Tijuana, you pass that unnerved, I don't know if it's still up there, but there used to be like a, there's a thing that says, now I'm in Mexico, but there was another like laminate. It's like those sexual harassment in the workplace is illegal. Your minimum wage is $5.15. Those things they put in your break room wherever you work, in the kitchen. There was one that when you go into Tijuana and it said like, you know, now in Mexico, said, you are no longer under the protection of the Bill of Rights. That was always an unnerving sign to walk by. I have no idea.
Someone's stolen all the covers off the sewers, so watch where you're walking up the dark.
But you can buy low-priced porcelain Pokemon merchandise on it.
That is true.
The thing about this Dutch, you know, who wants to fight for my kidney show, is that these are all bellwethers of programming that will eventually end up in America. Like Big Brother, American Idol, all of those shows had their origins in Britain or in a European nation. And so we bring those shows over here, we dust them off, we polish them, and then we have them here. So this kidney show will come to America. You mark my words. Really? Scotty, how do you feel about this call on a scale of 1 to 10? Okay, here's what I say.
How long does it take?
Here's
to pick a number between 1 and 10. As we sit here in real time for 2 minutes.
Here's what I asked Scotty just now. I just said, how do you feel about this call on a scale of 1 to 10? And he types on the screen, great. I don't even want to attend. Green.
He's the candidate for the weekend show.
Hi. Rick Emerson Show. What's your deal?
Are you talking to me?
Hello. Hi. Yes.
Yeah, Rick. So I know it sounds good, but it seems like I'm way on hold.
Hello. Yeah, no, you're... Hello, sir. Yes, this is you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I guess the reason he put me through, so he didn't let me do the other one for the, the Pluto. But he told me
yeah.
That this one anyway.
Woo! I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Here's a different one for you.
Here's a different one of what?
Here's a joke for you.
Oh, I see. I didn't know it was joke-telling time. What is the joke regarding, sir?
It's about the planet.
Which planet?
Oh, how about Pluto?
There aren't enough Pluto jokes out there.
Is this joke...
Okay, here you go.
Is this, let me ask you this. Is this joke really about Pluto?
Well, no.
Is this joke about another planet?
Well, yeah. No.
Yeah.
What planet would that be?
Hold on a second.
Saturn.
I'm going to give you a second. I'm going to give you... Alpha Centauri. I'm going to give you a second just to ponder this, whether or not you really want to tell this joke. Hold on. All right, now, do you really want to tell the joke?
I guess so.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Pluto, pull my finger. I'm Uranus.
Okay, that's funny. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. And he's gone. Hung up. I couldn't even... Before I even hit the kill button, he was gone.
He should be one of the headliners at the Clackamas Comedy Club.
He can co-host the weekend show with Scotty. All right, here's Tim. Tim, right? I want to rate this call on a scale of 1 to 10. Good. Jesus. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's about time to head out to the 80th annual Skips National Spelling Bee. It's getting underway, featuring the top spellers, the boys and girls of the U.S., Europe, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Bahamas, American Samoa, Canada, New Zealand, and even Guam. One of the contestants is Julian Anderson, who is from Minnesota. She's nervous, but will give it her best shot.
I'm just going to do the best that I can, and either way, I made it this far, and that's pretty good, seeing as only four people from my state even get to come. So, you know, I'm just going to do what I can.
Sims will compete on ESPN and ABC Television for the grand prize.
It's a $20,000 cash prize.
Damn.
And, of course, the engraved Loving Cup trophy that's handed to him. And then there are all sorts of related prizes.
Beatings in the schoolyard. I am unclear about... Can I just tell you this? The phrase loving cup kind of makes me cringe a little bit. I don't even know what that means. What is a love... I mean, I know what it is. But why do they call that trophy thing? And this is what? This is the gold little... looks like a golden glass with handles.
Yeah.
Why is it called a loving cup?
I don't know. I'll conduct an investigation and get back to you momentarily.
All right.
Loving... cup. Loving cup is a large drinking vessel, usually with two handles, that people drink out of at a banquet that is intended for drinking. It is awarded as a trophy to the winner of a competition.
Have a drinking glass.
Something given as a token for victory. Well, that doesn't help us at all, now, does it?
It doesn't explain at all why... Where are you looking? Is this Wikipedia?
I'm about to go to Wikipedia right now.
I bet I can do it faster.
All right, go ahead. I'll wait.
That's no fun if you're not competing. Ladies and gentlemen, William Shatner presents... Okay, here we go. No, you know what I haven't played in a long time? You know, it's been too long since I... I don't think I have my hot butter popcorn Jew's harp thing. Where the hell did I put that? Where did I put my Jew's harp sound effect? Oh, I have no idea where that went. I was gonna play that right here. Okay, let's see. Love the cup. Good. Here's the second result. Wikipedia is so frustrating sometimes. Did you ever do this?
Here we go. I think I found it.
Did you ever go to Wikipedia, though? And it's frustrating how Wikipedia doesn't correct your spelling errors. Every website on Earth corrects spelling errors now, except for Wikipedia. The second result for a loving cup is good Lord, followed by that, crocodile love. And every other Saturday, there's no entry for loving cup. All right, you know, I've kind of stopped caring. That's just
my... I have too. This is just too difficult.
All right. Let's go back to the spelling bee cuts. Those were fascinating.
All right. Let's go back. Do we have another one? The words are very challenging.
There's a lot of talented spellers, you know, that are competing in the bee. The spellers will tell you they're not competing against each other. They're competing against the dictionary. It's the words, you know, that are the challenge.
All right. And this is on ESPN?
Yes, and ABC.
You know, it is kind of surprising, though. I mean, I know there's been a lot of buzz about spelling bees, to whatever extent that that's possible, with the Spellbound and all that. But I got to tell you, I just can't imagine that that's a big ratings draw. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that has got to be the very definition of cult programming. And I know that we of all people shouldn't mock cult appeal of programming. But, I mean, it really, like ESPN9 or something seems like a better place to have that show. So, well, whatever.
Well, a high-tech tattletale device has hit New York City theaters. Theater employees at Battery Park Stadium now handle the duty of passing...
handle the duty.
Apparently, they give them this device that is about to record or report loud patrons. It can be used to report problems with the picture, sound, and even piracy. Some theater patrons love the idea. Others think it's overkill. So if you go to this theater, Regal Cinemas says it never pinpoints the guest reporting the problems, and the successful program is now being used in 114 theaters.
That's a fantastic idea. No, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Because... So it sounds like it's a little device in front of you that you punch a button and then you put in whatever the problem is.
I guess they're handing them out at random.
That's good. Well, first of all, you know this is going to be used by idiot teenagers just to make the poor ushers come in there. And let me ask you this. What purpose is served by that guy who comes in, and I'm not talking about the guy who comes in and scans the crowd with night vision glasses. We all know what that jackass is doing. That guy, you're sitting there watching the movie, he comes about halfway through and he's got one of those red-covered flashlights like he's directing traffic at O'Hare, and he comes in, he walks there, he walks down to the front, he watches the movie for 30 seconds, and then he leaves. What does that guy do? And he comes in every movie, every theater, every movie you go to. That guy walks in halfway through, watches 30 seconds, doesn't look at the crowd, just watches 30 seconds of the film and then leaves. And does nothing. I have no idea what that guy's purpose is in life. Here's the other thing about this. The other reason this is great is not just because of loud patrons, although they are a growing problem in this fading republic of ours, but so that you can summon them when the goddamn picture goes out of focus, because it seems like that's one of those things that back in the days when they used to have somebody up in the booth who would actually notice when the picture had gone to crap, but now they don't have that guy anymore because it's all automated. So I, for one, welcome this device.
All right. Here we move along.
That's it. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Okay, well, I'll continue.
Would you like... I'm sorry, do we need to ponder things?
I was thinking about it.
Wait, hold on.
Season 6 American Idol champ Jordan Sparks claimed that she's a natural talent. Well, that's exaggerated. Vocal coach Melissa Black tells Star Magazine she tutored the rising singer with weekly sessions for a period of time when Sparks was 14 years old. Now she's an ancient 17. And said she didn't have any formal training. Black said that when she first heard Sparks say that, she was hurt, deeply hurt. Black says Sparks is a true talent. Knew it wouldn't take too long to perfect her craft because she was so good. She is the latest American Idol. The feud between pop star Kelly Clarkson and music industry legend Clive Davis continues. According to Page Six, Davis recently slammed her. During the appearance on American Idol, Davis also failed to plug Clarkson's upcoming My December album release, but still remembered Taylor Hicks and Catherine McPhee's new hits. Davis is said to be angry about losing artistic control over My December, that's her album, to Clarkson. According to a label insider, Clarkson does not deserve the treatment, having sold more than 15 million albums for Sony BMG, and is not turned into a diva. Laptops are crippling millions of people with back problems. Booming sales of laptops have led to a surge of the number of computer users with back and muscle problems. Young girls as young as 12 are being diagnosed with nerve damage caused by slouching over screens. Millions of others are at risk. They're damaging their spines forever. Also, their necks and shoulders are leading to poor posture. It's all because of laptops. Back specialists say as many as 4 in 5 patients have chronic nerve damage caused by working on portable PCPs. The problem is being driven by falling prices and increasingly available wireless technology. It makes portable computers more attractive. A laptop sales went up more than 25% last year.
You know, Laura and I were just having this conversation last night because she's all on the... she's got this thing about buying stuff. I mean, she really is a buyer in the truest sense of the word. But she's on this whole I need an iBook kick. And you know what it is? And you know what I blame for this? I blame Wi-Fi, because it's something she never needed before. In American culture, and I'm not anti-buying stuff. I'm not a non-consumer type. I'm not some hippie get back to the earth nitwit freak. That it's all about like living off the grid or whatever.
Back to the earth with dial-up.
Yeah. Yes, back to the earth with CompuServe, the way we did it in my day. But in America, they'll do this thing of like filling a need that you never really knew you had. Like now that you can walk into a Starbucks with your stupid laptop and just sit there and look up PotteryBarn.com while drinking an
if
overpriced...
If you have a certain
I think you have to have a certain internet company to do that.
Is that the case? I don't even know how it works.
Uh-huh.
But her whole thing now is that she's got to buy a laptop. And, of course, not just a laptop, but a Macintosh, you know, and an Apple laptop.
Good girl.
Yeah, exactly. Buy something that's three times what a Windows laptop would cost. But it does have a fancy IC. It does light up, though.
It's reliable.
I'm just saying, she doesn't really need, like, she doesn't do anything with a laptop. She has no, there is nothing in her life which requires the use of a laptop. That's my only point. She does not engage in any activities, nor does she have a job that requires a laptop. She wants a laptop so she can sit in a coffee shop and use a laptop next to the other people who are using laptops, only so they can impress those people around them. It is a stupid, useless, self-reinforcing social construct. That's all I'm saying. It's just
because you're in the house for a while on a busy day, so you can forget about the reality of your world.
But it doesn't get you. I suppose it gets you out of the house so you can walk down the street and, you know, and sit in a store. I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be obnoxious about it. I'm just saying. I think Wi-Fi, it contributes to this, though, because it kind of fills people with this idea that they've got to be having a laptop. And trust me, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, because I got that Motorola Q, which puts me, on the internet all the time, everywhere I go. It fills people with this idea that they have to have, like, a computer with them whenever they go. God damn, I sound old. I sound like an old, cranky Luddite right now. I'm going to quit talking about it right now.
Okay, fine.
Don't even get me started on this house cleaner she brought in yesterday.
No? Did she find him on Wi-Fi?
No, she didn't.
Wasn't
no.
like a...
The Zen Buddhist housekeeper. I don't even know what that means, although our couch was at a slightly different angle when I came home, so I don't know if that's some sort of, like... If it's, like, to help my chakra or something. He rearranged, like, my couch and my, my love seat and my coffee table a little bit. So they're pointing in some new unified direction. So, like, when I'm watching The Shield at night, like, my chi or whatever can be stronger, or whatever, than my chai or whatever the hell they call that. So she found him, I swear to God, she found his name on one of those stupid, I need a writing buddy to San Francisco tack-up boards at the food co-op. So that's, when you talk about getting out of the house and away from your day-to-day reality,
yes.
That's the day-to-day reality of my house. So really, if anybody needs to leave the house and get away from it, that would be me. I'm sorry. Was that an overshare? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Katie Couric has hit an all-time low for the CBS Evening News.
Well done. Congratulations.
She's back.
Thank you so much.
5 million viewers as opposed to ABC and NBC, 7 million viewers.
5 million viewers. So she's actually still being paid $3 per viewer that she's able to get. Because she's being paid a little over $14 million a year, plus incentives, which she will not achieve. So she's being paid $3 for every person tuning in.
Yeah.
All right.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
What?
Lord knows we couldn't use that $14 million for anything else.
Should we be surprised that these Google Maps show faces of people on the streets and also license plates?
I don't know what
it's
you're talking
headline.
About.
Well, apparently, you, with these new Google Maps that are on the Internet,
right.
You can see the faces of people on streets and also the license plates.
Now, I didn't think they went in that far because, like everybody else,
right here.
Because like all narcissists, when that Google Earth thing came on, the first thing I did was go to my house.
Watching some lady jog.
Are you looking at some secret webpage that I've never had access to?
No, it's Google.
Oh, that's creepy. They've changed this a lot since I was
there. Just put the address in and watch who's in front of the house.
Oh. All right, I'm going to look at my house right now.
Oh, I'm going to look at mine, too.
We're such nerds. I'm going to look at the thing that I see every day for hours.
So it's maps.google.com.
This really is a relatable
Everybody
thing.
Do it.
Everybody's got a house. Let's see.
But not everyone has a home.
What am I doing? Do I just put in my address?
I guess so.
This is gripping.
It is. It's in real time. Everybody stop and do this.
I think everybody probably is. All right, there's... Okay, okay, so now it's come up, but it's not showing it. What do I do?
I don't know.
I guess you
can
zoom out.
Yeah, I don't have the map either.
Well, no,
it's... Satellite.
It's just showing... I don't have a satellite option.
Satellite.
I don't have a satellite option.
All right, I can...
Oh, satellite. There we go.
Yeah, satellite.
All right, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Clicking. Now, do I zoom in?
Sure.
How did you get it so close, Tim?
Yeah, Tim.
I don't know. I just have the magic touch.
There's my house.
Tim Riley, he has the magic touch.
Where's my car?
It's stolen.
No, that's my house.
Oh.
But it's... Oh, no, my car's there.
I don't even
know. That's weird.
I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at my house, but I don't even know what direction is what.
Well, if you got yourself one of those laptops and practice in the coffee shop, you wouldn't be having these problems.
See, okay, I don't mean to sound cranky about it. I don't mean to sound, cranky about the whole laptop thing. I'm just saying, most of the people who have laptops, because a laptop is how, if I can ask you this.
They're looking at what's going on in front of your house.
What is it? They're checking to see if I'm home before they go burgle me. What does an average Apple laptop cost? Like, if I'm not a graphic artist.
$1,200.
See, I question whether the average person who buys.
Well, buy a refurbished one then.
A $1,500 laptop, whether they actually use it for anything. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? If you're using it to check your email, you can do that on your phone.
Oh, that's true.
So I just don't understand.
I'll find you a cheap laptop.
Okay.
I know someone who sells them. Well, I won't go into that.
They'll buy one from him.
I'm going to my parents' house.
Those are refurbished, although they don't claim to be. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm frustrated because I'm trying to find a close-up of my house, and it won't let me do it.
I will say that I found that Google can be out of a couple years out of date. It depends on when the picture was taken.
So this lady was running by this house 2 years ago?
Maybe
she's dead now. How creepy is that?
That's kind of creepy. You can also go to Yahoo Maps and get other...
Oh, wait, there's my house, and there's my truck. This is on one of those days when
your
it was there.
Your truck's still there.
So one of those days when it hadn't been stolen.
And there you go.
Oh, warms my heart just thinking about it.
Anyways, just a quick thing about Wi-Fi. Starbucks and Borders and stuff like that is a pay service, but once you do that, you know, you can go to any of them and pay.
Now, somebody told me when you take your iBook into Starbucks, they charge you $10 for the Internet.
Sure. It's a monthly service. It's a fee service. But you can go to like your corner coffee shop,
right?
And you'll see lots of signs that says free Wi-Fi,
right?
And which is great for me because all I have is a laptop. I don't have a dedicated desktop at home.
Now, see, we do. That's my thing. And again, I don't want anybody to sound like I'm cranky. And I should say this: I don't mean to be throwing my wife under the bus about being like a compulsive shopper. She's really not. But she is. She's not a compulsive shopper, but my wife, who I love dearly, is an impulse buyer. And she will see an article, a newspaper piece, a television story, or she'll visit somebody who has something. One of her friends will get something, and she just gets it into her head that it's a thing she has to buy. She is a very, very... She's easy to impulse in the... she's easy to influence in the short term when it comes to impulse buying.
I can understand it, and that's how our... the advertising system is set up
exactly.
That way. But the thing is, I mean, the big questions you have to ask is, do you actually need to, you know, drag your laptop everywhere and go to every single coffee shop and sit down and check your email?
And that's what I'm saying, because if she gets the laptop, she pretty much has to start taking it everywhere to make it pay for itself, or otherwise she's going to be using it in the living room, in which case you might as well just walk into the office, which is 5 feet away.
And there you go. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's the only thing I have. I don't have television, which means I don't have Comcast, which means I don't have cable internet at my house.
Yeah.
So I just go down to the coffee shop and take my thing with me before I go to work and check my email and do a couple things, and then off I go.
All right.
It's just an easier way for me.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
You betcha.
All right, and she's slowly becoming an Apple convert, which I know will make some people in the audience very happy, and perhaps some people in this room. That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to buy an iBook. She gave me the stink eye last night. I finally ordered my new MP3 player. I did not get an iPod. She just gave me the...
I'm so proud of you.
She just gave me the squinty, narrow-eyed glare last night when I told her that I didn't buy an iPod. You know that Scotty has Scotty bought an iPod weeks ago, and he hasn't even opened it. It's just sitting in the box. If you needed another reason to dislike Scotty, he has a new Cadillac, a new truck, a television in his shower, and he has a new iPod that's been sitting in the box for several weeks. It's an 80-gig iPod. It's been sitting in the box, hadn't even bothered to open it. I don't even know what people are calling about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I'm calling about... I work at Regal Cinemas on Division Street in 162nd.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that remote thing with the customers and everything.
They haven't gotten teeth there yet. What? And so they're doing... which Regal theater is this?
Division Street on 162nd and Division Street.
Really? You're getting something first at 162nd and Division?
Yeah, we're high tech.
Yeah, that's not typically the way that Portland works, but okay. How does this device work? Is it like a handheld? How do people in the theater, audience members, summon somebody or tell them that there's a problem?
Well, basically, it's like it's got like four buttons on it, and it's this little black thing, and two of the managers have pagers.
Yeah.
So, like, the first button will be for a problem with the screen. The second one will be piracy. Third one is, like, a complaint about the customers. And fourth is other.
And so do they know who pressed the button, or is it anonymous?
Well, they put, we give them to, basically, we go by looks. Like, they have to be part of, like, the Regal Club thing, which is free. And they have to be, like, we hold their license. So it's not like they can walk out with them or...
Oh, wait, so if somebody comes in to watch a movie and they want one of these things, they got to give you the driver's license so that they can't steal them.
Like, yeah, it's just like the assisted listening devices that we have.
But here's what I'm asking. So, like, let's say I'm in the theater and there's some motor mouth just bumping their gums in front of me and just won't shut their hole during the movie, and I press a button and I say loud patron or disruptive patron, you're not going to come in and, like, ask me, hey, are you complaining about this guy in front of you?
No, basically what we'll do is come in, like, and about the guy that comes in and watches the movie for 30 seconds,
yeah.
Each set, so each movie we have to check it at least twice, basically for loud customers.
All right, to see that it's in and to see if it's in focus and all that stuff.
Yeah, and so what we do when we get a page is we'll just go in, one of the managers will send someone in, and we'll make sure everyone's being quiet, if someone's being loud. We usually stay where they can't see us for a little bit.
Fascinating.
Basically, like, if we just walk in, they're going to shut up. So.
Interesting. Okay, so now, I might actually go, what's playing at your theater right now, sir?
Well, really, we only have five movies. We have Shrek 3, Spider-Man 3, and Pirates 3, and they're all playing on, like, 12 screens or something like that. And then we have Bug and something else.
It's not Waitress, is it?
No, we don't have that.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm seeing Waitress tonight, but I am going to see Bug this week. So you know what? I will make this vow to you. Because you share this information, I will come to see Bug at your theater, sir.
Right on.
Thank you, my friend. It's Jeff. Right? Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
It's actually Joe, but that's fine.
That's Scotty's mistake. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Thanks, brother. There you go. That's Joe. I will see Bug at your fine theater. All right. Well, Sarah, it's becoming a trend, so we're just going to go late again. Because you know what? I like this news hour blending seamlessly into the 1 o'clock hour business. I find this to be interesting. You're listening to KCMD Portland. Let's see. What are we doing here? Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, about these Macs,
yes,
Mac laptop.
Yes.
G4 PowerBook is $2,800.
Now, see, who needs that? And I'm not saying nobody does.
I'm going to tell you. My girlfriend, she does some really cool stuff with her Mac. She can take pictures with the digital camera, put it into the iPhoto, and she can make, like, a movie in the iDVD of the pictures and, like, zoom into different parts of the pictures, set it to music, make DVDs, give them to people.
She's a one-woman Ken Burns.
Well, if you like, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
But the hard drive on those things, it's only, like, I think it's either, like, a 120 or a 160. And then it tends to fill up right quick with all the pictures you put into it.
Now, here's a question. If I have Wi-Fi, because my wife, I get the feeling it's one of those battles I'm going to lose, where she's just going to buy a Wi-Fi laptop, whether she needs it or not. Here's a question. If you have a Wi-Fi laptop, can you sit at a place like a coffee shop or whatever and just download whatever you want? Like, could you just sit there and just download MP3s all day?
If you have the password to their network, or you walk in and you buy a drink,
right,
or whatever, and
right,
say the password is cappuccino.
But I mean, they don't
log in.
They don't block whatever you can access. They don't stop you from doing whatever.
Well, I assume that there's a function in their network. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about other people's networks, but I assume that there is some sort of, it's going to be like internet site blocking that it doesn't allow to go. Here.com, you know.
All right. Excellent.
But, no, it's been quite useful. And, in fact, the thing, she's used it so much that she has to get a brand new one.
Yeah.
So, there you have it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go.
So, you get a refurbished MacBook for $999.
Yeah. Well, I'll pass that along. I mean, pass that along when we're not spending our money on a Zen Buddhist house cleaner. Let's see. Hi, Michael. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I was just going to talk in about the Google Maps thing.
Yeah.
The street level viewing.
Yeah, this is frustrating. And they won't, Tim, where were, you don't have to say the address, but what general area were you looking at on Google Maps where you could see the woman jogging?
San Francisco.
See, and so that's like I mean, Portland's a fairly large city. We're 24, I think, about 24th biggest city. And yeah, but my house, it would only get to like helicopter distance.
Yeah, well, I tried L.A., which is a big ass city, but the only cities I found is Frisco, like Tim, and I found Vegas. Everything else didn't go down to like looking at people running by.
Well, if I can't spy on my neighbors with this technology, if the technology doesn't allow me to see my female neighbors undressing in the window, then it doesn't matter to me. Then it's dead to me. I don't care.
Well, just wait, give it a few months, and you'll be able to in Portland.
That's the spirit.
It'll be 3 months old footage of her, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's fine. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. All right. I don't even know what we're doing here. Oh, we got Rube coming up in here in just a few. Well, let's see. Well, I mean,
Weird you is right about Vegas, because you can drag a little person. And then you can stick the person next to somebody on the street, and the person looks at the person on the street for you.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you realize how inane that sentence just sounded?
There's a little animated guy, and you drag him around, and you stick him next to people. So just type in Las Vegas. That's what I did.
This is like that time that Don and Mike played blackjack on the air. Hold on. Las Vegas, Nevada?
Yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay. Las Vegas, Nevada. All right. And I go to satellite, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wait. Street view. There's a big button that says street view. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. Are there places on this maps.google.com that you can't see? Like, are there sections the government won't let you look at?
Area 51.
Is that true?
I don't know. I never tried it.
I don't even know where Area 51 is. You know, don't call about Area 51.
I'm looking out in front of a casino, and...
Hold on. It won't give me the street view. I'm clicking street view, and nothing
happens. Manicure, pedicure, now open.
See, what? Do you have some special secret internet over there?
You have to find the blue streets.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right. So there we are. Street view. Zoom in. Yes? Okay. You know, the thing is, we do have such a relentlessly nerdy audience that this probably is fascinating on some perverse level. All right.
I'm looking at the Desert Inn.
To use Street View, you must upgrade your Adobe Flash player. Oh, for the love of God.
Use Internet Explorer.
I hate using Internet Explorer.
Well, you're going to have to, because the other one blocks everything.
Could this show be more whiny and tedious? Welcome to the
Internet. I don't have anybody to look at.
Listen, this is the thing that makes me tempted to get a Macintosh, by the way. Keep in mind, I have been in this studio now for about 3.5 months. I've been using this computer for almost 1.5 years. I have accessed the internet on this computer probably 100,000 times. I just clicked Internet Explorer, the icon, here's what I get. Welcome to the Internet Connection Wizard. Would you like to sign up for a new internet account? Okay, no. asking me if I want to sign up for a new internet account is funny, because that's one of those, I don't know, I'm trying to get a permission to access, to get on the internet. All right, here we go. Hold on, let's see. Let's put in the address, maps.google. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Nothing I want to look at in Las Vegas.
Because it's fun.
Well, and because I'm frustrated that everybody in the room can look at Las Vegas and I can't. All right, hold on.
I can't find anything interesting. It's just a lot of dead.
Well, you know, in your face. That's what you get for being able to look
at. I'm trying to find the strip, but...
Las Vegas, Nevada. All right.
They look like there are people there.
I have no idea what people
are. This is the worst show ever.
No. People are calling about... Look at that. I get these calls about Google Maps. Hello, sir.
Best show ever, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Google probably has good coverage for San Francisco because they're based out of the Bay Area.
That's true. And San Francisco was the first city that they went all Wi-Fi with. Isn't San Francisco entirely Wi-Fi now? Because of Google?
Yeah, they like the Bay Area.
All right, hold on. Let's see here. So I am... There's a little...
You know, Rick, if you had a Mac, you could do this better, though.
Why don't you shut up? Done. Done with that call. Jerk.
I can't find anything...
Okay, here we are, using Internet Explorer. Hey, guess what? If I want to do this, I have to upgrade to Adobe Flash Player version 9. Sons of bitches. Why can everybody do this but me? Cruel
because
God.
You're using a Windows unit.
Yes, life is hard, Rick.
Why must God mock me? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. For the love of Christ, what are you calling about?
Hey, best show ever, Rick.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, the reason why that works only in San Francisco and Las Vegas is because they're tied into the street security cameras.
Oh, that's creepy. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. They have access. You notice that in Las Vegas, you can only see certain streets in certain areas.
Right.
And it's right off the strip.
Right around the strip, yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are all the outside security cameras for general view of the security system.
So Google is... Okay, this is creepy Terminator 2 Cyberdyne Systems crap right now. Are you telling me that Google Incorporated, where the Google Systems
that they are actually tied in to the government security cam system?
Bellagio.
No, it's the each individual security system, like the Bellagio and that kind of stuff, have their own private security system.
Yeah, but I mean,
you could actually go on and tie into it. Yes,
but I mean, but on the street, okay. Like for example, Tim was just on the one for San Francisco, or Frisco, as no one calls it, and there was a jogger, and so this was not in a business, this was not in a store.
No, but San Francisco has their own security system, cameras outside to keep an eye on people and the homeless.
Okay,
but London.
And
people need to be watched.
You know there's a camera for 14 people in Britain, Tim? But here's my thing. Are you telling me, though, that Google in San Francisco, for example, that Google is patched into the city, the government's security cam system?
Yeah, just like you can tap into ODOT security.
Damn, that's unnerving. Okay, but that's creepy. Maybe I'm the only one that finds that creepy, but there's something really strange about that. I don't know why.
It is kind of creepy. For instance, you can go on, and I don't have my computer with me, but I have it bookmarked on my computer. You can go on, and there's certain security cameras. For instance, there's one that looks over to the Empire State Building in New York City. You can get a 24-hour view of that. And it's off the security camera on a different building.
Oh, that is so weird.
And, I'm not sure if Google has it tied in yet, but London has their own security system that the cops use.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, London is like the most watched city on Earth.
And I don't know if Google's tied into that one yet, but you can go to ODOT right now and see all their security cams for all the freeways.
Do you get the feeling that one of these days the Google system is just going to become self-aware? It's just really,
probably.
It's going to become self-aware. We're going to try to unplug it. Skynet's going to fight back. And then the next thing you know, there's going to be some liquid metal guy coming and killing my adopted parents.
Well, probably. And look at it this way, you know, all the drones that Army uses, you know, with the machine guns and the missiles on it, they're all controlled by computer.
Oh, all right.
Freaky.
All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
In view, a humble vaudevillian veteran, cast vicariously as both victim and villain by the vicious.
That's why I love this show.
This visage, no mere veneer of vanity.
I flipped on the HBO the other day. I was looking for something else, and this was on. And this is one of those movies. No matter when it is, no matter how far it is into the movie, if this is on, I'll sit and watch it all the way to the end. I tuned on, though. Viva Vendetta. I tuned on, and it was just at the end when she says, and when she says to the inspector, she goes, "Do you like music?" And it was just as she like shoots the train down the tunnel, like filled with V and all the explosives. And it was right as all the people with the masks are there.
I love that movie.
They blow everything up at the end. Fantastic.
I still can't believe that they can make a movie like that.
Best movie. Since it is Guy Fawkes Day, it's 5th of November.
That's a wannabe. It's, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, great show.
Thank you.
Hey, Google Maps. There's a standalone player that you can download called Google Earth. It's just in the Google main page there, and it's basically the same thing as the Google Maps, but you can control it a lot better, and it runs a little smoother and faster. So.
Now, is it truly the whole Earth? Can you look anywhere?
You can look anywhere in the world, including Alaska, Siberia, Greenland, I mean, everywhere. It's really cool. Great waste of time if you're bored at work.
Doesn't it seem like that's the sort of thing that the government would not allow to be legal, though?
Well, some governments have a problem with it. You were talking earlier about certain places where they don't have pictures, and there's actually a website where you can go and you can look at that kind of stuff, among many other things like planes in flight and planes taking off, the UFOs, or all sorts of different stuff that you can look at. It's just called GoogleSightseeing.com.
Fantastic.
And lots of fun.
Cool. Thank you, sir. You know what I want to do? You know what I so desperately want to do with this? There's Google, with the Google Maps where you can do the street view and so forth. I really want to go, like, just stage something or just plant, like an alien, you know? I want to find one of those cameras. And I just want to hold up a really lifelike-looking alien in front of the camera for just, like, four frames and then just completely take it away.
Aaron just sent me that there's an alien caught on one of these.
Well, no, you know, it's just a matter. Well, first of all, a couple of things. A, you know, and this is the kind of thing that I'm amazed at. We had that story from Pal Talk a couple weeks ago about that guy that hung himself in a Pal Talk chat room. And, like, nobody thought he was serious. He was in this chat room. He's like, "So, I'm going to hang myself then." And everybody was like, "All right, get on with it." And, like, they didn't think he was serious. And the next thing you know, he's like, there he is, climbing up on a chair and...
you know, and done. It's amazing to me that we haven't had one of these street level, you know, one of these internet cameras catch a crime start to front. Or front to back, you know, start to finish. It's amazing that we haven't had this where, like, Google Earth or Google Maps or Yahoo cameras or something will catch, like, a mugging, a shooting, a stabbing, something like that. Secondly, you know it's a matter of time before one of these cameras catches some couple humping it out in, like, a window. It's going to be pointed at, like, I've talked about before how when I'm downtown in any city, I compulsively look up at the tops of high-rise buildings because I'm convinced that one of these days I'm going to see some couple just going at it up on, the 40th floor against a window or something. I think it's just a lot. Eventually, it'll happen. I think I just saw too many, like bad Cinemax porn films when I was a kid. But I think it's... On one of these Google cams, there's going to be some kid surfing around on the Google cams one of these days, and it's going to be in some city, and there's going to be, like, some woman flashing the camera or some exhibitionist, some guy. There will be a guy in a trench coat who will find one of these cameras, and he'll go and he'll wave his tackle at the camera, and he'll, scar the retinas of young school children across the world or something. I'm amazed that it hadn't happened already. I really honestly do want to go find one of those cameras, though, yeah, and just for 5 seconds, just long enough to register, just hold up something really weird, just some bizarre alien doll in front of the camera. My friend Todd and I used to have this fantasy. Art Bell, of course, who does that, the crazy, the Dreamland, the alien, the paranormal radio show. He used to do his show out of his house in the middle of the desert in Pahrump, Nevada, and he would sit there in his basement, which was, of course, just below ground level. And he would do his radio show, and he often mentioned that, like, a lot of basements, at the top of his basement, like at the ceiling level of his basement, the ceiling, of course, of his basement was actually ground level. And so were these windows in his basement that looked out onto ground level, like into the yard around his house. And my friend Todd and I used to just have this ongoing fantasy where we would dress up in some really convincing alien costume and sneak up to Art Bell's house and just tap on the window and peer in at him while he was doing the radio show one night just to see what his reaction would be on the air.
You know what seems weird is I'm looking at these maps and looking at Vegas, you can see clearly the tops of all the casinos. And you can get really, really close to them.
The whole thing
that seems
is
like
weird.
It shouldn't be right.
All right. Well, let's get a couple more of these, then we got a break. It's, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, they did catch a murder on camera in Philadelphia on a surveillance camera. This guy just walked up and shot this woman in the head. And they couldn't figure out who this guy was because they couldn't see his face or anything. So the way they solved it is they went and they collected all the surveillance video for all the buildings in that area around the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then they caught him walking into work because they matched his clothing. And it was just a guy that was a psycho. So it's like a totally random act of violence, which, of course, is the most difficult to solve. And through all this video stuff, they solved the crime.
It's going to be really, maybe not, because maybe criminals will outsmart this, but it seems like it. I think about this sometimes. I know this is a weird thought, so I have to clarify. Just from an intellectual point of view, just as an observational thing. You really, in a way, if you're a criminal, you almost have to be really sad for the glory days of 100 years ago when you could kill somebody and the odds are you could get away with it unless you were a complete moron. I was watching this thing about Lizzie Borden and about famous unsolved crimes. Lizzie Borden, more than likely, as we all know, took an axe and gave her mother 30 whacks, blah, blah, blah. She chopped up her parents with an axe and, and she was, like, covered in blood. But she came up with some plausible explanation as to why she was covered in blood. It's from a horse, you know, or whatever she said, and they just let her go. Same thing with D.B. Cooper. D.B. Cooper walks onto a plane. Nobody ever asked him for identification. They didn't search his bags. There was no security screening. Gets on there with a bomb, steals $300,000, jumps out of an airplane, bam, vanishes into history. Nobody ever finds him. You could never do any of that stuff now. It's really, really hard. I think that we are... You always hear these stories, like this guy that flew with tuberculosis on a plane a couple days ago, and they're saying now that he was not only flying with tuberculosis, he was flying with, wait for it, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, because we've used all these antibiotics for so long that the tuberculosis has become really smart and resistant. I think that all of these, the cameras and the DNA testing, we are either going to wipe out crime completely or we're going to give rise to a breed of super criminal that can never be caught. Because through Darwinian evolution, we are breeding out the dumb criminals with this.
Well, now when you see video on TV, you know, when they're showing you this crime happened, help us, the person looks like a mummy. They got ski mask, gloves.
Well, yeah, they know. They told
them.
They
don't know. So one quick thing, Rick. I'm the guy with the molestation letter. Are you still interested in that? Because I located. I called you like a week ago. I got a letter from the Archdiocese.
Clarify what we're talking about here. This is the you got a letter from your old church diocese.
It was actually from my high school, from an all boys high school.
And it was have you been molested by this priest? If so, call 1-800. Yeah, we'd love to. If you want to scan that in or drop it off, that's just fascinating. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and it's got like the official letterhead on it, and the whole nine yards. And it's because I was in school at the time that they're prosecuting this person.
Yeah,
okay, I'll make sure you get that here. Early next week.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You bet. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, molestation. They were asking if he'd been molested. It wasn't like a convention or something. All right, we're going to take a break. 503-733-2970. We come back. More news ahead. Top five. Later on, we'll talk about OMSI Body World 3. Like us at 3, Donamike at 7. Here's Twisted Sister. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You know, I didn't get up early enough today, and to be honest, it's just that I really don't care that much. To tape that other zany radio morning show that purportedly has lifted both our monologue music and our In the Year of Our Lord 2007.
Damn, nobody taped it?
No.
Ah.
That's because nobody listened. I was just going to say. It's difficult to find people who... it's difficult to find people who were listening attentively enough or long enough to confirm or deny it. I don't know about you. I mean, if you're a radio fan or you're my age or older, you would grow up. And a lot of times, you know, you would actually tape the morning show on your radio station of choice because it was exciting. And you wanted to share with you, hey, did you listen to that kooky morning show? I sure did. No one has those conversations anymore. There are no I will guarantee you this. And there's a lot of things. I you bet your bottom dollar on this. Sadly but truly. That sounds grammatically incorrect, but I guess it's right. Sadly but truly, I will guarantee you that there are no high school conversations happening in hallways of our institutions of learning right now about, hey, did you hear what that morning show did today? No high schoolers are going to school. No one is spending their morning talking about the radio morning show they listened to that day and how hilarious and entertaining it was. Those conversations are a thing of the past. So, sadly, what are you going to do? It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, a cell phone tucked away in a shirt pocket deflected a bullet aimed at an Aurora, Colorado man's chest. As a result, Roger Baxter ended up surviving the ordeal with just a flesh wound.
I told him to take and get the gun out of my face. I thought it was pretty low of him coming after trying to rob somebody that's disabled, and he shot me. Hit me in my cell phone and ricocheted off of that. Give me a big gouge along the side here.
How he's disabled?
Yes, a semi took off his leg.
Not my time. I told you that before.
In your face, mugger.
He said he wasn't about to cave in when a young hoodlum broke into his house.
And I hauled off and hit him with one of my crutches.
Genius. I love that guy. God salute you, sir. God bless you. I love guys like that. You just try to give him what for, and he gives it right back to you. Well done.
Hyannis' mother and her daughter got the surprise of their life yesterday when they discovered a man passed out drunk in their home in Massachusetts. 27-year-old Derek Handelbrook was on the couch when Kayla Kinder and her mother discovered him.
I was really scared, actually. Because I'm always, like, really paranoid when I come in the house. I check all the rooms first, and for him to actually be there that time was like, oh, my God.
Mom, there's a candy in my bed again.
Generations of children have heard the advice, never accept candy from a stranger, but now adults might need to heed the warning. A Kansas City man says three people approach him right in the driveway in front of his house and asked if he considered buying candy for their charity. Angelo Falcone says he asked what kind of candy they had, and that's when he found out what the men were really up to.
So I came out with a large automatic gun and pointed in my face, and he's doing a roll, which I did, and that's it.
All right.
He grabbed his keys and took off with his Lexus SUV.
There's two things about this story I don't understand. One is about this story specifically. One is, and the other one's sort of an overarching observation. One, which one would you like first, the specific observation or the overarching observation, Tim?
Yeah, the first one.
Specific observation. So they come up to the guy and they say, hey, would you like some candy? And the guy says, well, I don't know. And in the meantime,
I think I would ask the same thing.
And in the meantime, then the guy pulls out a gun and says, no, I'm really just going to take your Lexus.
Yes.
Why do you need step one if you've got a gun? Do you know what I mean? Why can't you just walk up to a guy and go, give me your keys. I got a gun. Okay. I mean, really, that seems like an unnecessary flourish.
Maybe he did have candy.
I know, but I'm saying, why would you need that? I'm saying it's an unnecessary bit of operational flair.
Well, you probably consider it a fair trade.
Oh, I see. So I'm taking... So it's sort of like a gentleman gym kind of a
thing. Yes. Kansas. People are friendly over there.
Look, I hate to take your Lexus, but hey, here's some junior mints.
Right.
Sort of like in Goodfellas when he would rob people, but when Robert De Niro would steal trucks, but then give the guys $50. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. And it is the heartland. There's the salt of the earth there.
There.
Secondly, has anybody ever... Ever, when they were a child, been offered candy by a stranger?
No.
Were you ever offered candy by a stranger? It never happens. Warning children against something that never goddamn happens. And you know what? And more to the point, I would say this. Not only is nobody ever offered, I don't know why this makes me so angry, but as we discovered the other day, this show is all about disproportionate anger. And you know what? That's going to be in our next set of liners. When I get the next bit of production cut for the station, we're going to do two things. One is going to say, Rick Emerson Show, stories of comedy. And the other one is going to be 4 hours of disproportionate anger. The Rick Emerson Show. Why is it wrong to take candy from a stranger? Anyone, go.
It could have needles in it.
It doesn't. Next answer.
Strangers have the best candy.
That's what I'm writing that down. That's going to be our new slogan. Strangers have the best candy. Strangers. I got to tell. And can I tell you this? Can I honestly? Let's just break this down. Break this down linguistically and look at this really in a word by word sense. I would say that probably 98% of the candy in your life that you have purchased has been from a stranger.
Oh, that's true.
When have you ever bought candy from somebody you knew? Never. Almost never, unless it's a school fundraiser of some kind. I would say that almost all of the candy you've purchased in your life has been from person or persons unknown to you before that time. We all take candy from strangers. We've done it our whole lives. We're all still here. So quit your goddamn belly aching. Makes me furious. All right, we're done.
All right. We move on.
Yes.
Gay today, David Hyde Pierce, who played Frasier.
He
played Niles on Frasier, actually.
Not gay tomorrow, though.
No. He is the new gayest person who admits to being gay.
What?
I don't understand anything in that story. Gay today, David Hyde Pierce.
That was just a headline, in other words.
I see.
Yeah.
So not like he flips a coin or something.
No.
Wait, hold on. Today I will fornicate with otters.
Right.
Okay. So, I thought now...
Well, he never publicly admitted it till this article.
I mean, that's... Everybody kind of knew. I did. But he totally... Okay, how is it then... Far be it from me to argue with the gay times.
Yes.
But how is it that I knew that he has had a partner of like 30 years then? Why do I even know that fact? Have I ever been at a party at David Hyde Pierce's house and I forgot about it?
Have you been?
Maybe.
Perhaps he has
Frasier. He's Niles. Niles on Frasier.
Oh, okay.
And he was also played John Dean in Oliver Stone's Nixon. Because he's had, he's been in a serious relationship for like 20, 25, 30 years, something like that. Why do I even know that if he wasn't out?
I don't know.
Well, apparently he's only gay today, so it doesn't matter.
It's one of those things where everyone knows that Jodie Foster's the lesbian, but that's,
I don't know that that's true. I still hold out hope that Jodie Foster would stick with me.
I'm sure.
She just needs Rick. That's all. All right.
Well, yesterday we were introduced to Laura Mallory, the mother of elementary school children who launched her anti-Harry Potter crusade 2 years ago and lost.
Wait, hold on. Who is this?
Laura Mallory. She's in your book.
Wait, hold on. Is she in the book? Let me check.
Yes.
I need music for the book. Laura Malloy or Mallory?
Mallory.
Oh, really? I'm glad you told me it was Laura Malloy.
I thought I spelled it out for you yesterday.
Well, maybe. Well, I wrote it on... Well, okay. Please be spelling her last name. I got to put it in the book right
now. Do you want some music for the book?
M. What kind of music would the book have? No, that's the wrong.
No.
M?
A.
A.
L.
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 O.
O.
R.
R.
Y.
Okay, there we go. In Lawrenceville, Georgia?
Yes.
You're in the book.
She called Harry Potter books spiritual filth. Valerie says Harry Potter books send a bad message to children.
There's a subtle, hidden message in these books, and that is witchcraft. And witchcraft
is subtle.
The U.S. government recognized religion. There's numerous occult and witchcraft practices in the book, and that's not fair to promote one religion over another.
Yeah, it's real subtle. You really have to strain
it. It is abominable, and witchcraft is an abomination to God. And if you're a God-fearing, God-loving person, you should look at his opinion, not just take your own opinion or even the world's opinion of the book. Look at God's opinion.
Can we get her a little
God
bit?
God can't be reached for comment, unfortunately.
She's preachy.
Yes, and you know she has like 100 kids, uh-huh. And you know she donates money to the political party of her choice. The witchcraft, I was just saying, that, you know, I don't really know that you have to look all that hard to find witchcraft in the Harry Potter books. I'm pretty sure it's right there when they say Harry Potter boy wizard, but you know, what do I know? And What was the rest of her? Can you play that last idiot comment from this horrible woman who's in the book and who will be dealt with at the appropriate time?
It is abominable. And witchcraft is an abomination to God. And if you're a God-fearing, God-loving person, you should look at his opinion, not just take your own opinion or even the world's opinion of the book. Look at God's opinion.
For the love of sweet Christ Almighty. Here's the thing. Am I the only one who finds the phrase God-fearing, God-loving person, which you hear a lot from people of that
ilk? I don't know what that means.
And I don't, well, I'm going to tell you what it means, Tim.
All right.
And I don't just mean Christians, because we know Christians on, many of my best friends are Christians. I have had Christians in my home. I wouldn't want my sister to marry one, but I suppose they're fine for their purpose. All I'm saying is this. The phrase God-loving, God-fearing, doesn't that sound like, if you were to replace God with, like, Ket, doesn't that sound a lot like a woman who's in an abusive relationship that she's just become dependent on and can't bring herself to leave?
I suppose so.
If you were to say husband-fearing and husband-loving woman, that sounds a lot like idiot women we know that just can't bring themselves to get out of a relationship with somebody who keeps her there via threats of violence. That's all I'm saying. And it sounds a lot like that when this woman talks about, or anybody, whoever they are, talks about being God-loving and God-fearing. That's a whole lot of, well, he is really nice to me, and he protects me, and he does feed me and clothe me. Of course, if I disobey, there'll be punishment. That's what it sounds like a lot. There really is a whole lot of, it's not just Star Wars fans that have a weird, abusive, dysfunctional relationship with George Lucas. It is people like this and their God. So, you know, just chew on that.
Dr. Keith Ablow says Harry Potter is not a religion as Laura Mallory believes.
No.
I don't think of this as a religious doctrine. And frankly, I don't know any kid who has stated, I want to be a witch now.
Mother, wait, no, but did you hear that? Did you hear that she actually said she does? She said, is there a
fault? I don't think of this as a religious doctrine. And frankly, I don't know any kid who has stated, I want to be a witch now.
Now, note that she's answering before he even finishes the entire question. I want to meet a child who's become a witch because of Harry Potter. I want to meet someone who has become a practicing wizard. Oh, I hate this woman. I hate this woman with everything in me. Oh, she's at the top of the list.
There's more to hate.
No, you know, she was like number 5. I am moving her above these idiots in Conifer, Colorado, who are outraged that the yearbook mentioned that children, that high schoolers might drink. Okay, Laura Mallory is now number 1 in the book. And she will get hers at the appropriate time.
Her Harry Potter book?
Her speaking to.
Oh.
She will get her talking to.
Another mother, Kelly Apel, says kids want to practice witchcraft after reading Harry Potter.
The Pagan Federation has had to hire a youth officer because they get an average of 100 phone calls a month, sometimes more than that, swamped, of children wanting to become witches. In this article, the Pagan Federation comes right out and contributes it to Harry Potter.
That is fantastic. I wonder if you can get like a pagan, like a witchcraft merit badge or something. Ah, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I used to work at Fry's, and when Harry Potter, the first movie, came out on DVD, we were playing it there on the big screen, you know?
Yeah.
And this lady came in and started screaming at us because we were playing it in public. and she went over and took the DVD out and threw it.
Ugh, ought to be forcibly sterilized. She ought to have her uterus removed.
Yeah, so we were all just standing there kind of blankly staring like Homer, you know, just blinking.
Yeah,
like,
really, because how can you possibly respond to such idiocy? There's just no rational response to people. Like, inside their head, it's not even that they're dumb, it's just there's like a... Whatever the inverse of intelligence, it's just like a white dwarf or something inside their head, just completely sucking everything down to a singularity. Did she just leave?
She was forcibly removed.
Good, I hope they gave her a beating. thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Goddamn, people are dumb. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Ratings for this year's Miss Universe pageant are not looking pretty. According to the earliest numbers, NBC's live broadcast of the 56th annual event drew its smallest television audience ever. It was down 26% in viewers as compared to last year's. The two-hour Miss Universe airing from Mexico City was watched by an average of 7.1 million, but that's better than Katie Couric. The Miss Universe pageant is owned by Donald Trump.
Maybe if Katie Couric fell on her big fat ass occasionally, and then I'm sorry. That was beyond the line. Look, I know that I sound like David Hyde Pierce when I say this. They dress her in white way too often. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be wearing white on television anyway. Even I know that, and I learned it the hard way by going on the O'Reilly Factor with a big white.
You are so obsessed with
because
that
it's
shirt.
The worst I've ever looked anywhere.
I know. I still haven't seen that. Is it on YouTube?
It's not on YouTube. It's nowhere out there. I have the only existing copy, I think. It was pre-YouTube. If I went on the O'Reilly Factor now, it would be on YouTube, of course. Because I look terrible, and it'd be some jackhole who decided the whole world needed to see it. It's not on YouTube. I have it on tape at home. It was not on display at the party, nor will it ever be seen by anybody, ever. ever. Even I know this, though, because the camera adds 10 pounds and so forth. And Katie Couric is not a fat woman, but she's not real thin the way that everybody on television, I guess, is supposed to be these days. But they put her ass in this big white skirt, and it just makes it look like a drive-in movie screen. I mean, it really has to be said. By the way, thank you to the woman who said about Laura Mallory, 100 points to Gryffindor every time Laura Mallory speaks. Well done. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, Ty Pennington, who was busted for DUI, has been drinking again. He was sipping cocktails in the VIP lounge in a California beachfront community of Venice Beach over the weekend. Apparently, he's not going to rehab either, and pictures were taken of him paparazzi style throughout the afternoon.
Well, let's see, we've got, never mind. Hi, hello, Tim Riley. I was going to do the call. There's a guy calling about Laura Mallory, and then it's gone. All right. Scotty, pleased to be, if you could just come in with us.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount...
I can't bear to listen all the way through that today. Scotty J, our intrepid PA. All right, so what is the, it's 6 minutes to two.
It's 4 minutes before two.
It's 4 minutes to two.
And my watch says 10 minutes to two. No wonder I was late.
Yeah. So here's what we got to get done.
Rick peaked on his caffeine high, and now he's going downhill.
No, it's fine. I have no response to that.
Oh, I have plenty of response to all that stuff you were talking about, though. I could go on for days about it.
Please do. Do it right now.
Well, the Mallory lady, number one, it's due to gals like that.
Gals. I think we know where this is coming from. Due to skirts like that, Rick. Dames.
Broads.
It's true. I mean, if you're holding back books like that, it's no wonder that my kids in a public school cannot run on the playground at recess anymore due to lawsuits and this, that.
About Harry Potter.
No, I'm just mad at the fact that everything is now being banned. It's like, let's ban Harry Potter. Let's ban running at recess. Let's ban this, that, and whatnot. The world isn't anything like it was in the 70s. Okay, there's that.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't.
So anyways.
Thank you, Sarah. No. Hold on. I was.
You need to put that in the
Ty Pennington.
I was ill prepared. Go ahead.
That's just it, though. I mean, it's like everything is being banned now, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and it just absolutely is insane. When I was a child. Let's go back there for a second. My parents would take us on a trip to...
Do we have that music? We got to transition out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on a second, Scotty. Go ahead. We have to
we'll make
be a little more specific here. Okay, go ahead.
When I was a child, my great-great-grandpappy would take me on a trip to Disneyland, right? When we stayed at hotels, they had diving boards. Well, we haven't had diving boards for the last 20 years. Did you ever stay in a hotel that had a diving board before? It's because they were banned due to all the lawsuits and whatnot. Now, let's move on to Ty Pennington.
You need to start saying whatnot a lot more. You need to work that into even more of your sentences.
I've heard it out of your mouth so many times, it's just like in my brain now. I can't get rid of it. Ty Pennington, good for him. Embrace it. I mean, yeah, he was out drinking.
Embrace your drunk driving.
He got a DUI. What are you going to do? I mean, you can't turn back the hands of time.
I don't even
but
know.
But I certainly wouldn't stop drinking.
What do you think about Paris Hilton going to jail?
This Ty Pennington thing.
Scotty, I'm certainly not going to quit drinking.
That's all.
Pretty soon, they're not going to allow drinking on playgrounds anymore.
Yeah, and that's really going to make me mad.
He always
drink on the playground.
Ty Pennington still drinks. Why can't I?
He's been hit twice for DUI, no. And you're preemptively angry that he might quit drinking.
Wait, where'd we get twice?
Isn't that he's been hit for DUI at least twice? Didn't that mean you spotted him again? Oh, I'm sorry. Only once. And you're preemptively angry that he might
quit. And you got to project that. So he was doing this.
Have you ever driven while intoxicated and been hit for it by the cops?
No.
Have you ever driven while intoxicated?
I'm sure that I've had a buzz or two, but it's just not. I just flat out don't do it.
Do you believe you have ever driven drunk?
Drunk? No.
All right.
It's not a good thing.
Thanks for clarifying.
Ty, on the other hand.
Same school.
brings me to another point. Lohan and Paris and Ty and all these people, they've got money. They got a little bit more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
How come they can't, just like you said, how come they can't afford a taxi? If I can pay $40 to $50 to take a taxi home after
$40 or $50.
For a night out.
It cost you $180 to get home the last time. That's what you told us.
Well, we did a little tour of the city.
Who's we?
I don't know. I'm just...
Uh-oh.
Over there's here. No we.
Uh-huh. No, of course not.
No, last time I took a taxi, I was with a friend.
Oh, you're going to pay for that later.
It was a male friend.
Sure.
Just a friend. Nothing else.
Did you know he was a male when he picked him up?
No.
You ain't even
really dig this cowboy music.
You felt badly he was walking in the rain.
Exactly.
You know, this is going to
tell us more about your friend that you go out drinking with.
This is just one particular friend, and we met up with the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law.
I want to get back to your grandfather used to take you places when you were a boy.
Well, the only thing about that is, you know, all this banning of stuff. There's, because of people that are lawsuit happy.
Yes.
We have no, I mean, someday we're not going to have Harry Potter in our libraries. We're not going to have kids running on our playgrounds anymore. It's no wonder America has the fattest kids in the world. They can't even run on recess and get rid of all that energy.
Now, is that true? Do they not... let your kids run at school?
No.
Is that honestly true?
No.
You're exaggerating.
You could flat out get sent to the principal
for running
on the playground.
At recess?
No soccer,
that
no
can't
nothing.
Possibly
it
be
is true.
True.
And this
I mean,
is in the suburbs. Where they got
I'm sorry, we need to switch music again.
At least now beatings will be confined to the locker room.
Yeah, seriously. Well, yeah, I was going to say, it makes the nerds easier to catch, I suppose. So. Now, you're not screwing with me here.
No.
So, now, your kids go to, you have to say where, obviously, but your kids go to a public school?
Yeah. Just a everyday
Are you on,
school.
How old are your children? Was it like 8, 9, 10, something like that?
Son will be 9 tomorrow.
They're grade school age.
Yeah.
So, are you honestly telling me that your kids are not allowed to run at recess?
Yeah.
Flat out, point blank, the teacher says don't run at recess.
In fact,
what are they supposed to do?
Well, let me tell you, when I was a child, I had a lot of energy. You don't have to switch music.
No.
My son's the same as I was.
I'm saying, what do your kids do at recess?
They can play wall ball, or they can swing on the swing, or they can, you know, wait in line standing, you know, perfectly erect.
But they don't,
but
they're not supposed to run.
Right.
What happens if they run?
They get either written up, or timeout, or sent to the principal over it.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I don't have kids, so I don't know these. I don't know these things. That just seems impossible. I can't even fathom that would be true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody will. I mean, if it's not true, somebody will tell us. If it is true, somebody. That's just one of those things that I can't even.
Well, it's no wonder they got
insane.
You know,
that doesn't
wild
make any
energy
sense.
And.
God damn, I hate
you
people.
You have to start giving kids Ritalin.
That's
the solution.
You know, they just put that in the water supply with the fluoride.
Really?
I mean, honestly, that's why your kids don't fit in. They're not in enough SSRIs.
I'm Ritalin, boys.
Jesus. All right, well, let's see who these people are that are calling here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Holy crap, that music's loud on there.
Hello, hi.
Hey, I just want to say, my daughter also goes to Beaverton School District.
Yeah.
And she can't run on the playground either.
Are you kidding me?
I am dead serious.
She got in trouble
once for running across the playground.
For the love of God.
Isn't that ridiculous?
When did they start doing this business of your kid not being allowed to run at recess?
I have no idea, because I used to run all over the place on recess.
I mean,
that's what it's for. You're sitting on your butt all day long. Go outside, burn some energy.
I don't think this is a when I was a kid thing either. I think we're just talking about something that's flat out crazy.
Yeah.
All right. It makes my head hurt. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I'm a teacher at Astor Grade School in North Portland.
Uh huh.
Your buddy there, Scotty J, is so full of baloney. I Portland Public Schools, I never heard of that, never will.
Excuse me, this is in Beaverton.
Oh.
And they flat out...
Where life is more precious.
You heard the guy preceding you, they cannot run at this school in Beaverton. Now, I don't know if every single school out there is that way.
Who's the principal, Hitler or the Nazi or what?
That's what I'm saying. Well, let's be sure to say that on the radio a bunch of times. Yeah, the principal Hitler there.
Well, you know, Beaverton schools better pull their head out because, you know, that's ridiculous.
It is.
I know people think it's a small issue, but this is very relatable. Many people have reproduced and have children in schools. So this is, you're honestly telling me, Scotty, though, that at Beaverton, it's a school policy that a kid can't run outside.
At this particular school, and
all right.
I've heard that from others as well.
All right, well, let's take one more call here and we got a break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
My 10-year-old son wants to chime in on this. Hello?
Hi there, who's this?
This is Mike.
You don't sound like you're 10. I think they're putting something else in the water where you live.
What's that?
Sounds like a bully.
How old are you, Mike?
No, my 10-year-old son wants to chime in.
Oh, yeah. Where is he? We're waiting.
It's Groundhog Day.
He's right here.
Okay.
Come on, Tuss.
Hi.
Hello, okay, hi. What's your name?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Mike and Michael.
How you doing, Michael?
Good.
Where do you go to school, Michael?
Portland Cedars Elementary.
Portland Cedars Elementary. And what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Fourth grade. So do you guys get to, now do you guys get to recess every day, or do you get just one recess or two?
We get two.
You get two. That's pretty cool. I only had one. So now when you go to recess, now are you guys allowed to run around, or do you have to walk everywhere?
No, we have to skip on the playground.
You have to what?
We have to skip on the playground.
You have to skip on the playground?
Yes, we can't run. We can't all run. The only reason that we can run is play basketball or play soccer.
So if you're playing a game like soccer or something, you're allowed to run. But if you're going to get somewhere, like if you wanted to run, like if you wanted to get to the drinking fountain, you have to either walk or skip.
You can't run.
No, you cannot.
What happens to you if you run? What do they come and they beat you senseless? What do they do?
You get referral and go to the principal's office.
So you go to the principal's office. Is the principal nice or is the principal mean?
He's kind of in between both.
Kind of in between. All right. Excellent. Well, Michael, are you looking forward to being out for the summer? How many days until you're out for the summer?
11.
Fantastic. All right, Michael, thank you so much. Can you put your dad back on?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thank you so much, my friend.
All right.
Thanks so much. There you go. You'll be, and by the way, everybody will notice that because the father was there, I did not tell the child to rise up against his corporate enslavers.
Which I'm very proud.
Making him skip. Oh, for the love of
sweet Christ. I don't think you've ever been able to really run on the playground.
My kids cannot play soccer during recess either.
I was able to run everywhere. And I know this makes me sound like an old when I was a kid, but come on. I was able to run everywhere. How else are you going to break your bones become tough?
I used to skip.
Making him skip. As Tim pointed out, like a girl.
Yeah, speaking of that.
I bet next they're going to take out the urinals and make them squat. And wear pink berets. Are you effing kidding me?
You know, we used to run around and steal all the girls' shoes and throw them on top of the swing set. I mean, I bet that's not allowed anymore either.
Communism.
You're a dick.
We used to hold the girls down and punch them in the face repeatedly. We used to forcibly cut the undergarments off the girls. They won't let us do that anymore.
What are you talking about?
No, we didn't do that.
We used to jam sticks into the ears of the underclassmen. Well, those were the days. This gym rope we can't break again.
All right, thanks.
Will you give the legal idea again?
Hi, you're listening to KCMD Portland.
Have me stop saying AM Portland.
Oh, you don't want to know. It's a long story.
Oh.
No, it is nothing. We say it both ways, but it turns out that we're supposed to be saying KCMD Portland. Roop joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I got to hit the button. Hi, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Jesus, it's been a day and a half. Let me just tell you this. Let me ask you this. Sir, you know what
I'm
going to...
Are you going to do it?
I am, but you know that it's got to be talked about. Okay, Jim, your kids, if I could ask this, because you have more than one child, you have children of varying ages and genders spread all over the Roop household. Do your kids go to public school or private school?
Private school.
Private school. Okay, so now, if I may ask, this is none of my business, now, do they go to, is it a private school just in the sense that it's not public, or is it like
a
parochial school? Okay.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to engage in what we might commonly call horseplay or roughhousing at recess? Can they run around? Can they do stuff?
Yeah, they do all the time.
Okay.
In fact, we get broken bones and crap all the time.
What about at the public schools in California? Can you run around on the public schools at recess in California?
They discourage roughhousing. They took out... See, we still at my kids' school, they still have monkey bars and stuff.
And a tetherball.
Yeah. And so they took all that stuff out at the...
Oh, for the love of sweet God. Okay, so we were just talking to Scotty J., our intrepid PA here. He revealed, and it was then confirmed by somebody else, that his children who go to a public school in Beaverton, which is a suburb of Portland, they are not allowed to run at recess, period. They are not allowed to run, they have to walk everywhere. And then we had a guy call up and put his 10-year-old kid on the phone, so I knew it was real. The 10-year-old goes to school here in Portland. The 10-year-old at recess is... They are not allowed to run. If they want to get somewhere at recess, like to the drinking fountain, and they don't want to walk, I swear to Christ, they have to skip. Like girls.
You're kidding.
I asked the kid flat out. I'm like, Michael, if you have to get to, like, the drinking fountain or across the playground, how can you get there? And he's like, well, we can walk or we can skip. And I said, what? He goes, we can walk or we can skip. And I said, well, what if you run? He goes, well, we go to the principal's office.
Hey, let me tell you this. The school my kids go to, they still play dodgeball.
Yeah, see, that's a real school.
And my youngest son's in a wheelchair. And he's playing, he gets head-to-head constantly. We think he's going to get his friggin' neck broken.
Why I'm saying that's fantastic.
Maybe I should send him to a public school.
No, I was going
to
say.
It's safer.
You know, I mean, that is fantastic. I mean, in a way, you really know that. Hey, by the way, and I know you probably had a billion people say this to you, but have you seen that movie Murderball?
No.
You ought to see this, actually. It is about it's a movie about wheelchair athletes who play this really insane, like, full combat. It's like a dodgeball kind of a thing, but it's these guys who are in wheelchair, and literally these guys are like, they spend all year, like working on their wheelchairs, like making their wheelchairs like these heavy duty, like tank things.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, and these guys are just like crashing into each other and get hit in the face with crap, and I mean, it's just insane. It really is.
Yeah,
it is inspiring in the truest sense of the word. It gives me no excuse to not get off my fat ass and do something.
Well, you know, if he went to and he did when he was a first grader, or a kindergartner, rather. He went to a public school, and they treated him like a leper. They kept him in a room where he couldn't get hit by anybody, and heaven forbid the sun get on him.
Right.
Then they sent him to Catholic school. Jesus is on his side. They throw him out there.
See, the power of the Lord will protect you.
That's right. If you break your arm, God's will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. So, anyway, all right. Well, I'm okay. I'm just, I'm looking right here. I'm sorry when I called it that, but the word I was looking for, I couldn't quite get it, was rugby. It's about quadriplegic.
Rugby.
Quadriplegic rugby. It's called Murder Ball.
I've played rugby.
It is the most brutal film, and the great thing about it is is that these guys sort of, it is sort of the paradox, these guys in this Murderball movie, by they are so strident about not wanting to be role models that in a weird way they kind of become role models because they're just because they don't want to be treated any differently. You know?
Yeah,
and these guys, they drink, they smoke, they chase girls, they're profane, they're whatever. They play rugby really hard. They just happen to be in wheelchairs.
And what's a scrum look like in a wheelchair, with a group of wheelchair guys?
A scrum? I don't even know what that is.
That's a big pile they start with.
Oh, yeah, I don't really know. All I know is I saw this this guy, I forget his name, but this one guy in Murderball, and he's got the full-on chair with the big armored plates on the side, and just, like, it's made out of, like, tempered, case-hardened steel. And it really is heartbreaking. They show this guy who comes back from, I believe, from Iraq, and I may be misspeaking, but they show this guy who comes back from Iraq. He goes over there, able-bodied, comes back, and he's quadriplegic. And he's feeling real depressed, real down, whatever. And they show him attending, like, some group, some therapy thing where they're trying to help him over his depression. And this guy in this wheelchair who engages in this wheelchair rugby comes in and talks to them. And you see they're there filming it, and you just see, like, a little spark in this kid's eyes when he kind of figures out, like, you know, maybe this isn't the end for me. And when the movie ends, they show him, like, getting ready to sort of take place. And it really is an inspiring film. I don't want to be all cheesy about it, but it's a great movie. You really got to check it out.
I will.
Anyway, well, screw that. Making children skip like girls. That's just,
you know, that's a very sad thing. And that's why we're not raising men anymore.
Well,
you know that, don't you?
And it's not just gender roles, although you're right, that is a big part of it. It's also just like this idea. We got out into this whole thing, believe it or not, because there was a woman screeching that Harry Potter was teaching her children to be witches and wizards.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then we started talking about the phrase, don't take candy from strangers. And I was pointing out that that's one of those phrases that I know is used as a metaphor, but it's really a dumb phrase, because no one has ever it's like the thing you hear every year about Halloween candy and how it's going to kill you and whatever. And it's just a whole generation of children who become adults then who are just fragile, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In every sense of the word, raising an entire country of fragile people.
We're going to get our asses kicked in some war real soon because we don't know how to fight.
Seriously?
We don't know how to be aggressive.
Well, we don't know how to fight. We don't know how to be aggressive. We don't know how to let words just roll off us and not permanently injure us.
That's right.
You know, somebody calls us a name and suddenly we're ruined for life. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I know that I sound like one of those Andy Rooney, the world's going to hell in a handbasket guys, but I mean, come on. So, good God.
It will if we continue on the same path.
That's what I'm saying, brother.
Everybody just needs to lighten up.
I'm going to go start an island nation.
Lighten up, Francis.
All right. Well done.
Thank you.
And I rarely wear underwear. All right.
Hey, when I do.
Hey, real quickly, and we're going to talk about Spectre in a second. Real quickly, what is the final tally on this whole riot thing that happened at the immigration rally with the cops were in there, like, slugging everybody, including journalists?
Well, there's five different investigations going on. Federal, state, local, I mean, you name it. Everybody's got their fingers on it. And it turns out that, and it's what Chief Bratton said originally, the police chief here, William Bratton, said it was a breakdown of communication, a breakdown in command. But I was there, and I saw the cops coming. I just moved out of the way. And it seems to me that no one had to get hurt the way they did if they just moved out of the way.
Right.
So I don't know. And the only good thing about what's going on is that the line officers aren't being punished for this. You know, they're just doing what they were told to
sure.
do by whoever told them to do it.
Well, it was a breakdown in communication.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
I thought he said to stop. No, he said to stop. He said to shoot. Said to shoot.
In the meantime,
that's all I know.
Let's just beat everyone. Anything new?
It was a silly rally anyway.
Well, we thought it was underattended too, based on what they thought it was going to be. So I think maybe that's part of it. They were so amped up.
And you gotta look at it this way too. When you're in, yeah, sure. Now they know it was a handful of agitators. But when you're those five or six cops standing there, and you got people throwing rocks and bottles, you don't know how many people are doing it.
And you've been told there's going to be 100,000 people.
Yeah. So you just, if someone says clear the park, clear the park.
Yeah.
And if somebody's in your way, clear them out of the way and continue to clear the park. And, you know, that's what I would do if I was a cop, because I don't know, out of how many hundreds of people are there, how many of those guys have guns? Probably 90% of them.
Yep.
And if I don't get them, they're going to get me. So I would just barrel on. I'd get on a friggin' steamroller. I wouldn't worry about my baton. I'd get in some vehicle.
Well, and that's the other thing is when the cops are telling me to leave the park, I leave. I tend to do what guys with guns ask me to do. That's just call me crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of crazy, anything new or exciting or gripping in the Phil Spector trial?
Well, you know, the L.A. County coroner is being cross-examined by the defense, and they're poking a few holes in a couple of things that he said yesterday. You know, there's no blood spatter on or gunshot residue or not much anyway on Lana Clarkson's hands. Well, you could conclude that means she didn't fire the gun. She didn't shoot herself. Phil Spector fired the gun. Right. He had blood in the inside of his pants, in the inside pocket. Well, now the defense gets Pena to admit that there are many cases where people have a self-inflicted gunshot wound and there's no gunshot residue or spatter on their hands. It doesn't necessarily rule out suicide.
It's reasonable doubt, though.
There is. And like I said yesterday, if just one person on that jury says, I don't know, there's going to be a mistrial.
Mm. All right. Well, this is, I mean, it does seem, to what extent do you think, and this is a big question, I guess, to what extent do you think it affects trials like Phil Spector that O.J. is perceived to have gotten off just because he was a celebrity and had fancy lawyers? Do you suppose there is any sort of lingering?
I think jurors, the juries sometimes are quicker to convict, or they're looking for the guilt right now.
And do you think there's some sort of a "we're not going to let that happen again" vibe?
I you see it. You definitely feel that, and you see it in the faces of the jury. And not that that's going to happen, but I think they're really looking at this thing. And I still believe that the prosecution is going to win out here. I don't think what's happening with this scientific testimony is hurting the case any. He still looks pretty guilty, and it's still a lot of compelling evidence, both physical and circumstantial.
All right. Well, I guess we'll. I guess the good or bad news is, you know what? Whether he gets convicted or not, he will be contributing. He will be giving us the crazy for some time. So
yeah, I can tell you this: the defense witnesses had better be good.
Well, and there's no way Spector's going to take a stand.
No, they'd be stupid.
Because he's just going
to...
I mean,
I would love to see that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
I mean,
how did that gun get in her hand if she shot herself?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And, you know, he'll get it. You know, he would get about 30 seconds into the testimony and just decide that it was beneath him to testify, that he wanted to leave. So that guy looks like he's on the edge of a breakdown every day anyway. So, all right, my friend, enjoy your day. We will talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. We got
Jay just sent me the most disturbing thing.
Well, you know, I hear that a lot.
Okay.
What was it?
He sent me a MySpace page of, called Hookers for Jesus.
Scotty, we have to talk. All right. We got to take a break. I don't want to play this. Let's play something else. Not that I don't love Kid Rock. Let me play something else here. Hold on. Why, whatever should I play? Wait, hold on. Let me look. What?
This is thrilling.
No, I'm fine.
We can play whatever the music is on Hooker for Jesus.
Let's not. All right. Would you rather hear a cover of a Hank Williams Sr. song or a cover of a Dolly Parton song?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Dolly Parton.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next sound you'll hear will be that of me first in the Gimme Gimmes. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Tim Riley ahead and the Top 5 plus Body World 3 in OMSI. Don't go anywhere.
And you got to project that. So he was doing this.
Have you ever been? Have you ever driven while intoxicated and been hit for it by the cops?
No.
Have you ever driven while intoxicated?
I'm sure that I had a buzz or two, but it's just not. I just flat out don't do it.
Do you believe you have ever driven drunk?
Drunk? No.
All right.
It's not a good thing.
Thanks for clarifying.
A tie, on the other hand.
Same school.
A tie. You know, that's another. Brings me to another point. Lohan and Paris and Ty and all these people, they've got money. They got a little bit more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
How come they can't, just like you said, how come they can't afford a taxi? If I can pay $40 to $50 to take a taxi home after
$40 to $50.
For a night out.
It cost you $180 to get home the last time. That's what you told us.
Well, we did a little tour of the city.
Who's we?
I don't know.
I'm just...
Uh-oh.
Over here.
There's no we.
No, of course not.
No, last time I took a taxi, I was with a friend.
Oh, you're going to pay for that later.
It was a male friend.
Sure.
Just a friend.
Nothing else. Did you know he was a male when you picked him up?
No.
You ain't been listening to things that come out.
Cowboy music.
He felt badly he was walking in the rain.
Exactly.
You know, this is going to
be... Tell us more about your friend that you go out drinking with.
This was just one particular friend, and we met up with the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law.
I want to get back to your grandfather used to take you places when you were a boy.
Well, the only thing about that is, you know, all this banning of stuff. There's, because of people that are lawsuit happy.
Yes.
Someday we're not going to have Harry Potter in our libraries. We're not going to have kids running on our playgrounds anymore. It's no wonder America has the fattest kids in the world. They can't even run on recess and get rid of all that energy.
Now, is that true? Do they not... let your kids run at school?
No.
Is that honestly true?
No.
You're exaggerating.
You could flat out get sent to the principal for running on the playground.
At recess?
No soccer,
that
no
can't
nothing.
Possibly
it
be
is true.
True.
And this is in the suburbs. Where they got.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we need to switch music again.
At least now beatings will be confined to the locker room.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I was going to say, it makes the nerds easier to catch, I suppose. So. Now, you're not screwing with me.
No.
Now, your kids go to, you have to say where, obviously, but your kids go to a public school?
Yeah. Just an everyday.
Are you on, how old are your children? Was it like 8, 9, 10, something like that?
Son will be 9 tomorrow.
They're grade school age.
Yeah.
So, are you honestly telling me that your kids are not allowed to run at recess?
Yeah.
Flat out, point blank, the teacher says don't run at recess.
In fact,
what are they supposed to do?
Well, let me tell you, when I was a child, I had a lot of energy. You don't have to switch music.
No.
My son's the same as I was.
I'm saying, what do your kids do at recess?
They can play wall ball, or they can swing on the swing, or they can, you know, wait in line standing, you know, perfectly erect.
But they don't,
but
they're not supposed to run.
Right.
What happens if they run?
They get either written up or time out or sent to the principal over it.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I don't have kids, so I don't know these. I don't know these things. That just seems impossible. I can't even fathom that would be true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody will. I mean, if it's not true, somebody will tell us. If it is true, somebody. That's just one of those things that I can't even.
Well, it's no wonder they got
insane.
You know,
that doesn't
wild
make any sense.
Energy and.
God damn! I hate
people.
You have to start giving kids Ritalin.
That's the solution.
You know,
today.
They just put that in the water supply with the fluoride.
Really?
I mean, honestly, that's why your kids don't fit in. They're not enough SSRIs.
I'm not one of them Ritalin boys.
Jesus. All right. Well, let's see who these people are that are calling here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Holy crap! That music's loud on there.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, I just want to say my daughter also goes to Beaverton School District.
Yeah.
And she can't run on the playground either.
Are you kidding me?
I am dead serious.
She got in trouble
once for running across the playground.
For the love of God.
Isn't that ridiculous?
When did they start doing this business of your kid not being allowed to run at recess?
I have no idea, because I used to run all over the place on recess.
I mean...
That's what it's for. You're sitting on your butt all day long. Go outside, burn some energy.
I don't think this is a when I was a kid thing either. I think we're just talking about something that's flat out crazy.
Yeah.
All right. It makes my head hurt. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey, I'm a teacher at Aspen Grade School in North Portland.
Uh-huh.
Your buddy there, Scotty J, is so full of baloney. Portland Public Schools, I've never heard of that, never will.
Excuse me, this is in Beaverton.
Oh,
and they flat out...
Where life is more precious.
You heard the guy preceding you. They cannot run at this school in Beaverton. Now, I don't know if every single school out there is that way.
Who's the principal, Hitler or the Nazi or what?
That's what I'm saying. Well, let's be sure to say that on the radio a bunch of times. Yeah, the principal Hitler there.
Well, you know, Beaverton schools better pull their head out because, you know, that's ridiculous.
It is.
And I know people think it's a small issue, but this is very relatable. Many people have reproduced and have children in schools. So this is, you're honestly telling me, Scotty, though, that at Beaverton, it's a school policy that a kid can't run outside.
At this particular school.
All right.
I've heard that from others as well.
All right. Well, let's take one more call and then we got break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
My 10-year-old son wants to chime in on this.
Hello?
Hi there, who's this?
This is Mike.
You don't sound like you're 10. I think they're putting something else in the water where you live.
What's that?
Sounds like a bully.
How old are you, Mike?
No, my 10-year-old son wants to chime in.
Oh, yeah, where is he? We're waiting.
It's Groundhog Day.
He's right here.
Okay.
Come on, Tuff.
Hi.
Hello, okay, hi. What's your name?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Mike and Michael.
How you doing, Michael?
Good.
Where do you go to school, Michael?
Portland Cedars Elementary.
Portland Cedars Elementary. And what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Fourth grade. So do you guys get recess every day, or do you get just one recess or two?
We get two.
You get two. That's pretty cool. I only had one. So now when you go to recess, now are you guys allowed to run around, or do you have to walk everywhere?
No, we have to skip on the playground.
You have to what?
We have to skip on the playground.
You have to skip on the playground?
Yes, we can't run. We can't run. The only reason that we can run is play basketball or play soccer.
So if you're playing a game like soccer or something, you're allowed to run. But if you're going to get somewhere, like if you wanted to run, like if you wanted to get to the drinking fountain, you have to either walk or skip. You can't run.
No, you cannot.
What happens to you if you run? What do they come and they beat you senseless? What do they do?
You get referral and go to the principal's office.
You go to the principal's office. Is the principal nice or is the principal mean?
He's kind of in between both.
Kind of in between. All right. Excellent. Well, Michael, and so are you looking forward to being out for the summer? How many days until you're out for the summer?
11.
11? Fantastic. All right, Michael, thank you so much. Can you put your dad back on?
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, my friend.
All right.
Thanks so much. There you go. You'll be, and by the way, everybody will notice it because the father was there. I did not tell the child to rise up against his corporate enslavers.
He's very proud.
Making him skip. Oh, for the love of
sweet Christ. I don't think you've ever been able to really run on the playground.
My kids cannot play soccer during recess either.
I was able to run everywhere. And I know this makes me sound like an old when I was a kid, but come on. I was able to run everywhere. How else are you going to break your bones and become tough?
I used to skip.
Making him skip. As Tim pointed out, like a girl.
Yeah, speaking of that.
I bet next they're going to take out the urinals and make them squat. And wear pink berets. Are you effing kidding me?
You know, we used to run around and steal all the girls' shoes and throw them on top of the swing set. I mean, I bet that's not allowed anymore either.
Communism.
You're a dick.
We used to hold the girls down and punch them in the face repeatedly. We used to forcibly cut the undergarments off the girls. They won't let us do that anymore.
What are you talking about?
No, we didn't do that.
We used to jam sticks into the ears of the underclassmen. Well, those are the days. This gym roof, we can't break again.
All right, thanks.
Will you give the legal ID again?
You're listening to KCMD Portland.
Have me stop saying AM Portland.
Oh, you don't want to know. It's a long story.
Oh.
No, it is nothing. We say it both ways, but it turns out that we're supposed to be saying KCMD Portland. Roof joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I got to hit the button. Hi, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Jesus, it's been a day and a half. Let me just tell you this. Let me ask you this. Sir, you know what
I'm
going to...
Are you going to do it?
I am, but you know that it's got to be talked about. Okay, Jim, your kids, if I could ask this, because you have more than one child, you have children of varying ages and genders spread all over the Roof household. Do your kids go to public school or private school?
Private school.
Private school. Okay, so now, if I may ask, this is none of my business, now, is it a private school just in the sense that it's not public, or is it like
a Catholic school.
Parochial school? Okay.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to engage in what we might commonly call horseplay or roughhousing at recess? Can they run around? Can they do stuff?
Yeah, they do all the time.
Okay.
In fact, we get broken bones and crap all the time.
What about at the public schools in California? Can you run around on the public schools at recess in California?
They discourage roughhousing. They took out... See, we still at my kids' school, they still have monkey bars and stuff.
And a tetherball.
Yeah. And so they took all that stuff out at the...
for the love of sweet God. Okay, so we were just talking to Scotty J., our intrepid PA here. He revealed, and it was then confirmed by somebody else, that his children who go to a public school in Beaverton, which is a suburb of Portland, They are not allowed to run at recess, period. They are not allowed to run. They have to walk everywhere. And then we had a guy call up and put his 10-year-old kid on the phone, so I knew it was real. The 10-year-old goes to school here in Portland. The 10-year-old at recess is... They are not allowed to run. If they want to get somewhere at recess, like to the drinking fountain, and they don't want to walk, I swear to Christ, they have to skip. Like girls.
You're kidding.
I asked the kid flat out. I'm like, Michael, if you have to get to, like, the drinking fountain or across the playground, how can you get? And he's like, well, we can walk or we can skip. And I said, what? He goes, we can walk or we can skip. And I said, well, what if you run? He goes, well, we go to the principal's office.
Hey, let me tell you this. At the school my kids go to, they still play dodgeball.
Yeah, see, that's a real school.
And my youngest son's in a wheelchair. And he's playing dodgeball. I mean, he gets head to head constantly. We think he's going to get his friggin' neck broken.
I mean, you know why I'm saying that's fantastic.
Maybe I should public school.
No, I was going to say.
Safer.
You know, I mean, that is fantastic. I mean, in a way, you really know that. Hey, by the way, and I know you probably had a billion people say this to you, but have you seen that movie Murder Ball?
No.
You ought to see this, actually. It is about, it's a movie about wheelchair athletes who play this really insane, like, full combat. It's like a dodgeball kind of a thing, but it's these guys who are in wheelchair, and literally these guys are like, they spend all year, like working on their wheelchairs, like making their wheelchairs like these heavy duty, like tank things.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, and these guys are just like crashing into each other and get hit in the face with crap, and I mean, it's just insane. It really is.
Yeah.
It is inspiring in the truest sense of the word. It gives me no excuse to not get off my fat ass and do something.
Well, you know, if he went to and he did when he was a first grader, or a kindergartner, rather. He went to a public school, and they treated him like a leper. They kept him in a room where he couldn't get hit by anybody, and heaven forbid the sun get on him.
Right.
Then they sent him to Catholic school. Jesus is on his side. They throw him out there.
The power of the Lord will protect you.
That's right. If you break your arm, God's will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. So, anyway, all right. Well, I'm okay. I'm just, I'm looking right here. The word I was looking for, I couldn't quite get it, was rugby. It's about quadriplegic.
Rugby, yeah.
Quadriplegic rugby. It's called Murder Ball.
I've played rugby.
It is the most brutal film. And the great thing about it is that these guys sort of, it is sort of the paradox. These guys in this Murder Ball movie, they are so strident about not wanting to be role models that in a weird way they kind of become role models because they don't want to be treated any differently. You know?
Yeah,
and these guys, they drink, they smoke, they chase girls, they're profane, they're whatever. They play rugby really hard. They just happen to be in wheelchairs.
Now, what's a scrum look like in a wheelchair, with a group of wheelchair guys?
A scrum? I don't even know what that is.
That's a big pile they start with.
Oh, yeah, I don't really know. All I know is I saw this guy, I forget his name, but there's one guy in Murder Ball, and he's got the full-on chair with the big armored plates on the side, and just, like, it's made out of, like, tempered, case-hardened steel. And it really is heartbreaking. They show this guy who comes back from, I believe, from Iraq, and I may be misspeaking, but they show this guy who comes back from Iraq. He goes over there, able-bodied, comes back, and he's quadriplegic. And he's feeling real depressed, real down, whatever. And they show him attending, like, some group, some therapy thing where they're trying to help him over his depression. And this guy in this wheelchair who engages in this wheelchair rugby comes in and talks to them. And you see, they're there filming it, and you just see, like, a little spark in this kid's eyes when he kind of figures out, like, you know, maybe this isn't the end for me. And when the movie ends, they show him, like, getting ready to sort of take place. And it really is an inspiring film. I don't want to be all cheesy about it, but it's a great movie. You really ought to check it out.
I will.
Anyway, well, screw that. Making children skip like girls. That's just,
you know, that's a very sad thing. And that's why we're not raising men anymore.
Well,
you know that, don't you?
And it's not just gender roles, although you're right, that is a big part of it. It's also just like this idea. We got out into this whole thing, believe it or not, because there was a woman screeching that Harry Potter was teaching her children to be witches and wizards.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then we started talking about the phrase, don't take candy from strangers. And I was pointing out that that's one of those phrases that I know is used as a metaphor, but it's really a dumb phrase, because no one has ever, you know, it's like the thing you hear every year about Halloween candy and how it's going to kill you and whatever. And it's just a whole generation of children who become adults then who are just fragile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In every sense of the word. Raising an entire country of fragile people.
We're going to get our asses kicked in some war real soon because we don't know how to fight.
Seriously?
We don't know how to be aggressive.
Well, we don't know how to fight. We don't know how to be aggressive. We don't know how to let words just roll off us and not permanently injure us.
That's right.
You know, somebody calls us a name and suddenly we're ruined for life. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I know that I sound like one of those Andy Rooney, the world's going to hell in a handbasket guys, but I mean, come on. So, good God.
It will if we continue on the same path.
That's what I'm saying, brother.
Everybody just needs to lighten up.
I'm going to go start an island nation.
Lighten up, Francis.
All right. Well done.
Thank you.
And I rarely wear underwear. All right.
And when I do.
Hey, real quickly, and we're going to talk about Spectre in a second. Real quickly, what is the final tally on this whole riot thing that happened at the immigration rally with the cops were in there like slugging everybody, including journalists?
Well, there's five different investigations going on. Federal, state, local, I mean, you name it. Everybody's got their fingers on it. And it turns out that, and it's what Chief Bratton said originally, the police chief here, William Bratton, said it was a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in command. But I was there, and I saw the cops coming. I just moved out of the way. And it seems to me that no one had to get hurt the way they did if they just moved out of the way.
Right.
So I don't know. And the only good thing about what's going on is that the line officers aren't being punished for this. You know, they're just doing what they were told to do by whoever told them to do it.
Well, it was a breakdown in communication.
Yeah.
Dang. All right.
I thought he said to stop. No, he said to stop. He said to shoot. Said to shoot.
In the meantime,
that's all I know.
Let's just beat everyone. Anything new?
It was a silly rally anyway.
Well, we thought it was underattended too, based on what they thought it was going to be. So I think maybe that's part of it. They were so amped up.
And you gotta look at it this way too. When you're in, now they know it was a handful of agitators. But when you're those five or six cops standing there, and you got people throwing rocks and bottles, you don't know how many people are doing it.
And you've been told there's going to be 100,000 people.
Yeah. So you just, if someone says clear the park, clear the park.
Yeah.
And if somebody's in your way, clear them out of the way and continue to clear the park. And, you know, that's what I would do if I was a cop, because I don't know, out of how many hundreds of people are there, how many of those guys have guns? Probably 90% of them.
Yep.
And if I don't get them, they're going to get me.
Right. You
know? Yeah. So I would just barrel on. I'd get on a friggin' steamroller. I wouldn't worry about my baton. I'd get in some vehicle.
Well, and that's the other thing, is when the cops are telling me to leave the park, I leave. I tend to do what guys with guns ask me to do. That's just, call me crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of crazy, anything new or exciting or gripping in the Phil Spector trial?
Well, you know, the L.A. County coroner is being cross-examined by the defense, and they're poking a few holes in a couple of things that he said yesterday, you know, There's no blood spatter on or gunshot residue, or not much anyway, on Lana Clarkson's hand. Well, you could conclude that means she didn't fire the gun. She didn't shoot herself. Phil Spector fired the gun. Right. He had blood in the inside of his pants, in the inside pocket. Well, now the defense gets pinned to admit that there are many cases where people have a self-inflicted gunshot wound and there's no gunshot residue or spatter on their hands. It doesn't necessarily rule out suicide.
It's reasonable doubt, though.
There is. And like I said yesterday, if just one person on that jury says, I don't know, there's going to be a mistrial.
Mm. All right. Well, it does seem, to what extent do you think, and this is a big question, I guess, to what extent do you think it affects trials like Phil Spector, that O.J. is perceived to have gotten off just because he was a celebrity and had fancy lawyers? Do you suppose is there any sort of lingering?
I think jurors, the juries sometimes are quicker to convict, or they're looking for the guilt right now.
And do you think there's some sort of a "we're not going to let that happen again" vibe?
I you see it. You definitely feel that, and you see it in the faces of the jury. And not that that's going to happen, but I think they're really looking at this thing. And I still believe that the prosecution is going to win out here. I don't think what's happening with this scientific testimony is hurting the case any. He still looks pretty guilty, and it's still a lot of compelling evidence, both physical and circumstantial.
All right. Well, I guess we'll. I guess the good or bad news is, you know what? Whether he gets convicted or not, he will be contributing. He will be giving us the crazy for some time. So
yeah, and I can tell you this: the defense witnesses had better be good.
Well, and there's no way Spectre's going to pick a stand.
No, they'd be stupid.
Because he's just going
to...
I mean,
I would love to see that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I
so
mean,
how did that gun get in her hand if she shot herself?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And, you know, he'll get it, you know, he would get about 30 seconds into the testimony and just decide that it was beneath him to testify and that he wanted to leave. So that guy looks like he's on the edge of a breakdown every day anyway. So, all right, my friend, enjoy your day. We will talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right.
Scotty J just sent me the most disturbing thing.
Well, you know, I hear that a lot.
Okay.
What was it?
He sent me a MySpace page of, called Hookers for Jesus.
Scotty, we have to talk. All right. We can take a break. I don't want to play this. Let's play something else. Not that I don't love Kid Rock. Let me play something else here. Hold on. Why, whatever should I play? Wait, hold on. Let me look. What?
This is thrilling.
No, I'm fine.
We can play whatever the music is on Hooker for Jesus.
Let's not. All right. Would you rather hear a cover of a Hank Williams Sr. song or a cover of a Dolly Parton song?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Dolly Parton.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next sound you'll hear will be that of me first in the Gimme Gimmes. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Tim Riley ahead and the Top 5 plus Body World 3 at OMSI. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show. Rick, welcome to 3 hours ago. Rick, most people who have laptops don't have a dedicated desktop. Those who have both use a laptop to be able to work away from home. Oh, this is from, I have to be nice to this guy. He's in Michigan, and he does our, one of the guys who does our, what's it? Hello. He does the podcasting, the online, and the archiving the show online. Let's see. Also, Rick, Apple MacBooks start at $10.99. The MacBook Pro starts at $19.99. That's $1,999. And then he signs it. Also, because you did not buy an iPod, you are now officially dumber than Scotty. Thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, temperatures will continue to break records today. It is in the 80s in most spots. Let's take a look to make sure here is, it's 86 degrees. And it was so nice today when I bicycled in helping the, and by the way,
did you help the retarded yesterday?
I did. I helped
Let Seamus know.
No. I helped the least among God's children yesterday, also today.
The least? How about the most?
The most handicapped.
The most. Oh,
today, I will just say this. Well, never mind. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I did do it today, and it was great. And usually the ride in sucks, but it's worth it because the ride home is great. Man, today even the ride in was great. It was beautiful today. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the Portland police say that a suspect in a fatal shooting of a southeast Portland man early this morning is alive but suffering from a life-threatening self-inflicted gunshot wound. Earlier, they say they committed suicide, but apparently she lived. She's 30-year-old Jacqueline Fielder. She is the ex-girlfriend of the killed man, identified as 36-year-old Michael Kellerman. The fatal shooting occurred at 5:30 this morning near Southeast 104th Avenue in Boise. A neighbor heard loud arguing with yelling and screaming. Then saw a man run from the house before he was shot and collapsed. He died at the scene. The shooter took off. Two teenage girls sleeping outside on the trampoline. Two teenage girls
what
sleeping
kind
outside.
What neighborhood
on the...
is this?
This is your neighborhood.
Oh. Hello.
That's probably like the third bedroom of somebody's house. Well, the girls sleeping on the trampoline heard gunshots. As they were being outside.
Yes.
Let's see. Then the woman got a hold. Apparently they found her on her cell phone and tried to get her to surrender. During several hours, negotiators periodically talked with her on the phone, but couldn't find her. Then state police spotted her green Chevy Malibu in a tacky car on Highway 97 in Eastern Oregon, tried to stop her. She drove through spike strips and eventually crashed in Redmond, Oregon, wherever that is. The woman stepped out of the car, had a brief conversation, then shot herself in the head.
Why would you even have a brief conversation? And we're done. Why would you even have the brief conversation? I never understand these people. I really don't.
Well, apparently she had overdosed on morphine, whatever that does.
Well, I think if you overdose on morphine, I don't even know that you would have the wherewithal.
I guess you can make it all the way to Redmond in a Malibu.
Yeah, I guess. All right. Morphine, I thought, would just render you unable to even drive, much less to aim a gun correctly. That's pretty impressive.
Well, she had a lot of stick-to-itiveness.
Where has she been training for it for some time? Anyway, is she dead?
No, she's alive.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, now we're going to have to sit and pay for her stupid ass. All right, fine.
Probably.
She's a criminal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in more than one, they're not just sitting to pay to rehabilitate her in the hospital just so we can pay. You know, never mind. You know, a job worth doing is worth doing correctly, little Missy. That's all I'm going to say.
Jesus. So who knows? But that's what happened.
Okay. Well, there you go. And this was where?
Well, it began in Southeast and ended up in Redmond.
Where? I don't even know where that is.
Oh,
not Redmond, Washington.
No.
No, there's a Redmond outside of town.
Really? All right.
Where is that? Past Gresham, probably.
I don't even know where Beaverton is.
Oh, it's near Bend.
Really?
Scotty says it's near Bend.
She had a long way.
Hold on. The cops chased her all the way from Southeast Portland to Bend?
Well, they couldn't find her. Finally, they tracked her down.
Oh, did they track her down using the cell phone?
More than likely.
Hmm. All right. Okay. There you go. You know what's funny about Scotty is sometimes he'll just type these weird non sequiturs on the screen, like he just typed, "I disagree." No explanation, no context given. It's just there. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
A train and a fertilizer truck collide in Salem. Fertilizer spilled across the Salem Road today when a freight train collided with a semi. A southbound Pacific Western freight train struck the rear trailer of a fully loaded fertilizer truck near the intersection of River Road North and Brooklake Road early this morning. A collision flipped the truck upside down and spilled several tons of fertilizer onto the road. George Michael had a cocktail of drugs in his system when he was arrested in his car last year. Which time? It doesn't say. The singer has admitted driving while unfit, but lawyers argue his condition was caused by prescription drugs.
Uh-huh.
He was arrested in October 2006 after motorists reported a driver slumped over the wheel of a Mercedes in North London. The sentencing has been put back to the 8th of June, but he could do some jail time. Apparently he had the antidepressant known as the illegal club drug GHB in the system. Also, cannabis was found, but the prosecution did not maintain that this was the cause of his intoxication. They're just arguing about nothing.
I hate to say this, Tim, but while you started listing the drugs in his system, I was...
Who's surprised by this?
I started correcting some of the spelling on a piece of paper in front of me. That's...
Who wrote out that piece of paper with the misspelling?
It was me. It's me. I misspelled something on the top five, and it was obsessing me. And so I was having to fix it. Because really, don't you just assume that George Michael has all the drugs in his system?
I would assume so,
yeah. I mean, just really.
Hi, Michael Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, I mean, if they sell it, he's got it in his system. He's like Elvis. He's got one of those guys. He carries a whole footlocker around with him, just full of 800 different the bottles of pills.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Again, a job worth doing. If you're going to be a junkie, be a junkie.
Fred Thompson is moving closer to announcing he is 08 fit for the presidency. He's another rich white man. You can't really tell him from anybody else.
No.
Just another Republican.
No, he kind of looks like...
He's an actor on NBC's Law and Order.
I'm trying to think of who he looks like, but that's the whole thing.
He looks like a lawyer.
I guess, or kind of a rumply Joe Don Baker, sort of. He's a Mitchell-looking guy. Yeah. The only thing that he has going for him is that he's not quite as liberal as Rudy Giuliani is, although the Christian Coalition and the James Dobson guys have still said that they don't consider him a Christian, so he's not going to get the nutcase vote this time, and the Republicans can't win without the nutcase vote recently.
Well, that's true. That is bad, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hmm.
All right. Well, we should do the top five here, should we not?
Sure, all right. Why not?
Scotty, I got to get a new sound for Scotty. It's making my head hurt. Can you come in here so you can learn the error of your ways about yesterday?
What happened yesterday?
Yesterday, Scotty gave us a top five that was atrocious.
That included the wallflowers.
So the All-American Rejects. It was a top five that was...
Being given a chance to redeem himself.
No, we're just going to
smack him around a bit.
He's going to come in here and witness how it's supposed to be done. Here you go, Tim. Here's the top
five. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday Scotty did his top five songs you were likely to hear coming out of a primer gray Camaro as it drove by. The list was almost entirely useless, save for the inclusion of Lynyrd Skynyrd and possibly Pat Travers.
I think there was another one on there too.
I have asked the audience over the last 24 hours to send in their list of what songs would be coming out of that Primer Gray Camaro. I have then taken and aggregated the most frequently submitted songs and made them into a sort of a composite top five list. So this is effectively put together by the audience.
These are the top five songs that you're guaranteed to hear blaring out of a primered gray Camaro as it passes you by with a plume of oil smoke out of the wire hanger hung muffler. At number six, honorable mention, Great White. Once bitten, twice, Sly. Once bitten, twice.
Oh, never mind. No, I wrote that one correctly. That's not on me, by the way.
You corrected noise, but it was spelled right wrong.
No, that's something for another time. Yeah. You know, the great thing about this video is Bobby Brown, who went on to date like every rock star with a guitar in the 80s, is in this video. And I believe a rhinestone-encrusted black bra and jeans, and that's it.
I wonder what the point of that was.
What?
The point of him being in the video. I haven't seen it.
Not that Bobby Brown.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about the black man with a penis.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the blonde model, Bobby Brown.
Oh, okay.
She's the cherry pie girl.
All right.
And then she dated, like every rock star on earth. Bobby Brown, you're a man. You don't know who Bobby Brown the model is?
I don't know him by names very well. Now, do you know...
What do you know about my cup size?
The Whitesnake guy.
See, I can't say that. You can say that.
What was the name of that gal for the Whitesnake?
Tawny Kitaen.
Yeah, I know her.
What kind of man are you?
Weird looking now.
This is totally... What kind of man are you? You don't know who Tawny Kitaen is.
I know who that is. I just couldn't think of her name. I know their faces.
Do you skip a lot of places?
I skip a meal now and then.
Okay. All right. This is a great song. I don't know if I... You know, the interesting
thing...
They
play it in Tootle.
I am tempted to go to see them in Tootle, only because Jack Russell, this guy, has said more than once that he would never sing this song again because he hates it. He hates this song with everything in him.
What do I?
He hates because he's sick to death of it. He's sick to death of it. It's the only gold single they ever have, and they didn't even write it. They don't even get any publishing off it because they didn't write it. So I wonder when this guy realized that he sounds exactly like Robert Plant. I wonder if just someone told him he could make money off that. And I'm a big Great White fan. All right, we are counting down the top five songs you are more than likely to hear coming out of a Primer Gray Camaro. Tim Riley.
Number five, The Quiet Riots. Come on, feel the noise.
This is the one because, you know, their whole gimmick, Slade's whole gimmick, was misspelling all their words, and I realized I'd spelled noise right. So this is the Quiet Riot cover of Slade's Come On, Feel the Noise.
Now, I've actually seen a Camaro play this song, too.
Of course you have. Come on.
The Camaro played this song?
I always see Camaros with a different colored door. It's like the door was hit or something. And
Camaros are all effed up. A Camaro that is, like, in perfect shape is not a Camaro at all, really. It's not a Camaro until it's damaged. It's got to be rolled at least three times.
Yeah.
God damn, I love this song. And I love Quiet Riot, and unironically so. And everybody who doesn't like that, they can...
This was originally released by Slade back in 1993.
Slade, right? No, Kevin DeBruyne.
I'm calling it Slade.
It's kind of Sade's brother, right?
This is Kevin DeBruyne, one of the finest rock vocalists, really, of my life.
How many albums did they cut?
Dude, they're still putting out albums, and I got them all.
Really?
I got them all in your face.
Why do I only know about this?
I own seven Quiet Riot albums.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
You know what? And you can just suck on that if you don't like it. All right.
This ranked number 80 on VH1's 100 Greatest One Hit Wonders of All Time.
You know, and this is a great album. Metal Health, the first metal album ever to go to number one. They have the title track, which is fantastic. Slick Black Cadillac, which is fantastic. Run for Cover. Their second U.S. album, Condition Critical, is fantastic. Anybody didn't like Quiet Riot can eat one.
Well, I got a little bit of news for you.
Yeah?
Kevin DeBruyne and Quiet Riot were walking through Beaverton Mall. It was totally different because you could walk through the whole mall. Now it's a bunch of little stores.
When?
This had to be back in the, 84, 85. They were walking through to go to Tower Records to do a signing or something.
Yeah?
And there was nobody in the mall. And me and a buddy of mine happened to be shopping there. And, they walked right past us and were like, Kevin DeBruyne!
I love that guy. This sounds cheesy, but one of my big thrills in working in radio was meeting Kevin DeBruyne. I really am a huge Quiet Riot fan. I celebrate their entire catalog. Here's Tim Riley.
Number four, Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster.
Love this tune.
A very poor, poor man's Quiet Riot. This band has they have the silliest lead vocalist of any band ever to have a successful recording career. Sarah, do you know Molly Hatchet?
No.
Okay, you gotta listen. The music's okay. The Frank Frazetta covers are okay. No, it's all the vocalists. Wait till you hear the vocalist. The Frank Frazetta painting is okay, but check out the vocalist on the band.
A Muppet.
It's a whole lot of Muppet yodeling.
Oh.
This was released 1 year before Sarah Dillon was born. Really? 79?
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what he looks like.
It's like a really hick Morrissey.
I can see the guy wearing overalls.
I hate this song. I hate this song so much.
Looks like that uncle on the Dukes of Hazzard.
You're doing the top five songs you're likely to hear coming out of a Primer Gray Camaro. Tim Riley.
Number three, Guns N' Roses with Paradise City.
Now, you know that this is absolutely true. I can't even tell you. In the summer of like 88, I can't tell you how many cars would drive by me. Especially during summertime, windows rolled down, whatever, and you hear Appetite for Destruction.
I tell you what, I was probably one of them in a Monte Carlo.
Oh, dude.
79 Monte Carlo blaring this song.
And I am not naive enough to think that music for my generation automatically holds over because it's great. Most of the music for my generation is crap and doesn't matter to anybody but me and other old guys. Appetite for Destruction, though, is like Back in Black. Every generation, there's a new group of kids who discover Appetite for Destruction. Just like there's a new group of kids that discover the Smiths every year. There's a new group of kids that discover Ozzy every year. New group of kids that discover Johnny Cash. Every year, there's a new bitter 15-year-old who discovers Guns N' Roses. I mean, right now, this is probably playing in some suburban basement while they sniff paint thinner, which is great.
Or do some cheese, like they say on the news, right?
I'm sorry?
There's a new thing in it called cheese, which is a bad drug, too.
What is cheese?
I guess it's some kind of black tar heroin.
You know where I can store some?
Your local pizzeria, I guess.
All right. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
At number two, Judas Priest and Breaking the Law.
Judas Priest. That's the Garbage Pail Kid.
Now, this is back in the 70s, right?
Boy, this has got the worst video. This song has got the worst video ever. It's like, it's filmed for like $4, and they're robbing a bank. Where would Beavis and Butthead be without this?
Who sings the song?
Judas Priest. What? What's that, Scotty?
Is my phone working? No. Rob Halford, right?
Yes. I'm not a huge Judas Priest fan, but what's a great song? Jason, you've got another thing coming. A little bit of Judas Priest goes a long way with me, but this song is fantastic. This is fantastic. This is, I had a Beavis and Butthead interview CD, actually, that has one of the hidden tracks is just a bunch of a cappella Beavis and Butthead renderings of famous guitar riffs. Right. This is they're being pursued by the cops. Genius. All right, we've been counting down the top five songs you're more than likely going to hear playing out of a Primer Gray Camaro. Are we ready with number one? Let's not play this.
Okay. We want the children's version.
I apologize, Sarah. I thought Scotty had briefed you on that.
He was talking to me during my special internet time.
Oh, Scotty, you can't talk to Sarah. Didn't see where this is an extended tease.
We got it.
No, it moves up, Scotty.
We're
going to play it tomorrow.
Let's not reveal number one. Reveal number one tomorrow.
There it is.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
At number one, it's Metallica with Seek and Destroy.
Sarah will play. Which it was written out, Sarah will play. Which everybody was told that except for Sarah, who didn't really know that she was supposed to be playing this. Well done, Scotty.
Well, I interrupted her special time on the internet there.
You can't do that. No, there's a whole pre-show mode where you can't talk to Sarah about anything. You can't. Pre-show mode is very delicate. You tell her anything there, she'll forget it. All right. Man, if you just close your eyes, you can picture yourself parked outside a metal shop near a vocational center somewhere at a bad high school in a poor part of town.
I picture them putting big fat tires on the back of their Camaro.
Remember when Metallica didn't suck? Oh, those were the days. Back when everything they made didn't sound like ass. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show concludes next. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7, you say that. While driving down Powell, I noticed a crane and some workers just off the road. On the ground is a Coffee People sign, and being lifted up, a Starbucks sign. All glory to the Hypno Toad. Real quickly, hi, Kevin. Okay, well, that was easy. Kevin
good
was
call
gonna,
on that last phone call, Rick.
Way to go out on sort of a, as Eddie Izzard would say, kind of a, all right. He was just going to suggest Ed Milkman bitching Camaro. Uh-huh. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard joining us today. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our intrepid PA. And, of course, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down and do try to help the retarded. I raised $29 for the Special Olympics today. What did you do? Tomorrow, again, we talk to cross-country as well. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7, Stephanie Miller 6 to 8, Dennis Miller 8 to 11. We'll see you at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Be safe. Bye now.
Hey, Pluto, pull my finger. I'm Uranus.